I remember we'd go to like these dealer's house in Dallas, and I'd sit there, and there'd be like a guy sleeping on the couch, and there'd be like pit bulls and just like Glocks on the table. And I would just be like sitting there in like a little dress when we'd be picking up drugs. And I remember one time I touched the gun, I like this, and one of them pulled a gun on me, and I was like, sorry. I was like, my bad. They're like, no touching. And then I was like,
in hindsight, that's a good
role.
And then,
like, my guy friend was like, she's cool.
I was like, we disagree. She's touching our guns.
I was like, I'm cool, man. They tried to make me go to rehab. I said, no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time. And if my daddy thinks I'm fine. Try to make me go to rehab. I won't go, go, go.
Take whatever, 7. I cannot get a podcast intro out. If I had editors here with me all the time and I worked in a fucking studio, I could just say, hey, use that first part and leave the second part. But I'm One Take Charlie. One Take Charlie Arlie. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a fucking one of my favorite episodes of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank in a long time. Chloe LaBranch comes in. You don't know her. It's okay, you don't know her. But my podcast is not about hearing people you know tell stories they've said on fucking 17 podcasts. This, is that crooked? Is about hearing a fucking amazing stories. And Chloe LaBranch has been to rehab a ton of times, and we talked about rehab, and it's fucking wild. I mean, this is a fucking clip machine. I just kept writing down, look at this. If you're watching on YouTube, clip, 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 clip. And at some point, I just said, stop. I don't know. We've got enough clips for the episode. Go to youtube.com/Ari Shaffir for clip choices. By the way, I'm going to be in Boston before I even get going. I'm going to be in Boston December 9th. Get tickets at arishaffir.com at the Wilbur Theater, the amazing Wilbur Theater. Who doesn't love the Wilbur Theater? Come on out December 9th. Get tickets right now. Good seats are going fast. They're almost gone, so hurry up. Get tickets at arishaffir.com. I'm also going to be in Tampa, Florida with Steve Simone, November 19th and 20th. Oklahoma City, December 2nd through the 4th, San Antonio, December like 19th weekend, and Orlando, November 12th and 13th. But in Orlando, I'm going to be doing the Jew Hour. I've not done that in Orlando, and I'm just starting to dust it off again because who knows, but we'll see. Get tickets for all shows at arishaffir.com. Cleveland is now on sale. Phoenix should be on sale for next year. Denver is on sale for next year. That's it. Can I tell you guys? Well, let's take a quick word from our sponsor. Then I want to tell you about this Dave Chappelle shit. So, sponsor word. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Guys, you ever have trouble just getting out of bed? I mean, do you ever just lay there for hours? Not on a weekday when you got to go to work, but like a weekend when you're like, I could get up, could socialize, but I just don't have it in me. Maybe just go downstairs to the kitchen and just, I don't know, get a Gatorade or something. And you're like, damn, I just can't, dude. You know what you need? You need therapy. I know it's hard because you got to find a therapist. You got to get in your car. Get in your car? Are you out of your mind? I can't even go to the kitchen. I could use some help. Or a zipline. A zipline would be great. Just to, like, grab on. If you're down there in no time. But how about some online therapy? Online therapy at BetterHelp.com. That's H-E-L-P.com. BetterHelp.com. Slash Ari. If you use BetterHelp.com/Ari, you get 10% off your order. Guys, they have, it's just a helpful thing to get you back on your feet. They have financial aid available if you qualify. I don't know the process on that, but check it out. And just, you know, get where you got to be. You can't just lay in bed all day. You know that's not what you want to do with your life. And BetterHelp.com/Ari will just help you get back on your feet. It'll help you just go like, maybe there's more to life than just laying in bed till, like, I don't know, till it's time to go to bed again. It sucks. Don't suck. Get your life back. With BetterHelp.com/Ari, get 10% off your first month. Hi, guys. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is brought to you by 3Chi.com. It's the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. That's the number 3 and the word chi. It's spelled C-H-I, but it's pronounced C-H-E-E. Oh, no, you guys know about chi. You take my Yoga with Ari classes. You know all about chi. And also, you know about the number 3 not spelled out, just the number 3, which is the number of toes I lost in that Cambodian, well, what are we going to call it? Fist fight? I don't know. I went into it willingly. I knew the stakes. I knew the stakes, and I knew how many toes I had left. And 7 is a big number. So 3chi.com. All the products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA-grown hemp. You guys, you got to support the USA hemp factories and hemp growers. You know, yeah, you can get behind the corn guys all you want, but who's protecting the hemp growers of America? Well, 3chi. 3chi is. It's available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And if you use the promo code SKEPTIC at checkout, you get 5% off your order. You got to be 21 or older to purchase it because it is drugs. It's not CBD. It's psychoactive. It's going to give you a buzz. So use it responsibly. Again, that's 3chi.com. Promo code SKEPTIC at checkout. 5% off your order. Now back to the episode. Well, thanks, sponsor. That was fucking great. Way to keep the podcast going. And now you're going to be inextricably tied to fucking something that you had no idea about, Dave Chappelle. Okay, so you know how people... So you guys, I assume, if you're watching this podcast, you have been to a comedy club. So you know what it's like. You know what it's like. It's dark. It's dirty. A lot of times it exists in down literal basements. We're underground people. We're mole people. We want the dirtiest shit. I can say, like... You ever seen a heroin act? And most of you have, because you're dirty people. You're dark people. And then surface dwellers want to comment on stand-up comedy as if they know what the fuck it is. We're here to hear the darkest shit. We're here to laugh at pain. We're here to laugh at fucking whatever. We're here to punch up and punch down. We don't care. We're just here for the laughs. We're like the laugh where you go like this. Oh, it's one of our favorite laughs. And surface dwellers, people who see the sun regularly, they want to take it away from us. They just don't understand. Similar point. We're in Miami, Florida. They do not like jokes about school shooting there, especially the white women, especially 42-year-old white women. They, listen, I entertain most crowds, but that specific crowd, I entertain most of them. But if you're going to hate me, chances are high you're from that group. Anyway, we've set up a bunch of paper cups, plastic cups, in a triangle, and we were playing this game. Me, Big J, the staff at the Miami Improv, the great staff at Miami Improv, thank you for the socks. We're taking a little mini football and fucking throwing it, trying to knock it off. We were gambling, $5 each. We're in the fourth round, and drunk Justin Silver comes over and is like, let me get a throw. I'm like, no, dude, we're doing something. And he goes, I got it, come on, I get it. And we're like, no, you don't understand. He goes, trust me, I got it. I'm like, trust you on what? He's existing in a whole different world, played by different rules. And then he came into our game, a gambling game, and he just says, no, I understand this. But he has no understanding of it. So what they'll do is, surface people, they'll put quotes on stand-up comedy, completely removing it of all context. They'll be like, Dave Chappelle says trans people are quote-unquote hilarious. And it's like, well, there's definitely more to that. They just like misquote it left and right. And it's like, you're not part of this game. It's like if you're watching a football game, like how come the white guy gets it every play and the black guy only gets it some plays? You're like, what? You'd be talking to a woman most likely who doesn't watch sports, but she wants to spend time with her man. So what she does is sit down there and fucking annoy you and her husband. So you can just sit there and have to listen to her try to, Joppa, just shut the fuck up and bring us some goddamn wings. You're good at that. You like it. Why are you? I don't go in there. I'm like, oh, you got a honey mustard? That's interesting. What do you got? Dry rub? Is that a dry rub? Just shut up. How about just observe until you fucking know the sport? And you don't know stand-up comedy. The reason why the white player gets it every time and the black player only gets it sometime is because the white player is the quarterback and he gets what's called the snap. And then on some plays, he gives it to the black player who's known as the running back. Sometimes, people who don't watch football, there is a black quarterback, and on those teams, he will get it every time. There is never a woman quarterback. I don't know why. There is also never a white running back. A white running back. So that white guys never get the ball from the black guy. Unless it's thrown. Anyway. So criticism abound about Dave Chappelle's special, which is pretty much from, I haven't watched it yet, Probably the same, subject matter as his last two specials. You ever see somebody get upset now about shit that's been around? If you ever hang around younger people and they're like, can you believe this new thing about Israel and Palestine? And then everyone over 35 is like, new, what? They've just never seen it before. There was an example of that. Please say I'm recording. I am. You guys get tickets to Yoga with Ari. Every Monday, we got two left for October. Go to youtube.com/AriShaffir. It's not the right place for it. So executives are always bound by this weird thing of going like, I got to bow down to this fucking anger from the surface people who don't even understand this. And for the first time, a network executive goes, hey, you guys, Ted Sarandos, who owns, I guess, or CEO of Netflix, the people own Netflix, he spoke up and he was like, guys, pretty much, paraphrase, you guys just don't get how this works. This is not that. He's actually not shitting on trans people. He's making jokes. And you're like, well, it's harmful, but it's like, nah, that's such an abstract idea. And he comments on that. Let me read you what he said. In a company-wide memo that Variety obtained through a narc. We know that a number of you have been left angry, disappointed, and hurt by our decision to put Dave Chappelle's latest special on Netflix. Also, we have many new colleagues who want to better understand the principles that guide our team's content choices, especially with challenging titles like this. Titles? What does that mean? Why have you already lost me, dude? I watch stand-up comedy. Why have you already lost me? Look at that, how dark it got behind a cloud. Oh, it's so much nicer. Our goal is to entertain the world, which means programming for a diversity of tastes. I like that. Yeah, it's like, here's the world we're in now. That like, if one person's not into it, compared to music, where it's like, I do like punk rock. But if somebody's like, I don't like punk rock. And you're like, you don't have to listen to it. It's like, but it's on the radio. I'd rather go be off the radio. I'm like, but you don't even listen to the station. You listen to R&B. And you're like, yeah, but I don't like punk rock. Can you imagine like protest? So here's the two worlds you could possibly be in. You can either be in the world of let me watch the fun that everyone seems to be having, or you can be in the world of let me be angry at the fun that everybody's having. And the only way to do that and morally live with yourself, because you're in the same position as people who like wanted to stop smut in paintings, you know, and be like, oh, this is smut. This is pornography because you're painting a naked woman. Or the people who hated rap lyrics because they were cursing or speaking about fucking fun times. The only way you can do that is to have a moral high ground. That's the only way you could do it. Otherwise, you know, you're just anti-art, right? So that's what they've done. They've had this moral high ground. And the moral high ground they've taken is that these jokes lead to real world things, real world violence. Okay. So he goes on. He said, with The Closer, that's Dave Chappelle's new special. Everybody watch Dave Chappelle's new special. And while you're there, watch Ari Shaffir's last double special, Double Negative, on Netflix. Now, I would start with the second part, Adulthood. I think that's the funnier part. Would have switched it if I had to do it over again. I wanted a randomizer on there, so no matter when you played, it would just like randomly pick one because it was like neither part is more than the other. Okay. He goes, with The Closer, we understand that the concern, because I'm sure he's been talking to these people, is not about offensive to some content, but titles which could increase real-world harm, such as marginalizing already marginalized groups, hate, violence, etc. Well, he goes on, last year we heard similar concerns about 365 Days and violence against women. While some employees disagree, we have a strong belief that content on screen doesn't directly translate to real-world harm. I mean, that's a crazy claim, dude. Who's definitely had help writing this because it's very, very well written. That's all right. You're allowed to have help writing it, but this is very well written, Ted. But that's a crazy claim that says it doesn't live. Do you have any data that supports this? Let's see. Here's one. Studies, including research from 2016, that's recent enough, right? Conducted by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Psychological Association, those seem like legit groups. They back up Sarandos' assertion, specifically around the effects of screen violence. Huh. Well, like screen violence, it's increased over the last 30 years, doesn't increase actual violence. So scientific research doesn't back it up. It's like when you go to your doctor and they say, quit smoking. You're like, tobacco. They're like, yeah, but everything. You're like, but are there any studies that show weed affects this negatively? And they go, well, can't help. And you're like, no, you can't just say it can't help. It's spoken like a true fucking addict. The strongest evidence to support this is violence on screens has grown hugely over the last 30 years. This is back to Teddy Sarandi. Especially with the first party shooter games, and yet violent crime has fallen significantly in many countries. Adults can watch violence, assault and abuse, and enjoy shocking stand-up comedy without it causing them to harm others. Well, I disagree, Ted. You've never been to comedy clubs. You haven't seen me make fun of fucking overpriced pizza, and then that crowd gets out and riots. They burned down Ben's Pizza Shop. You weren't there, Ted. They're burning down multiple pizza shops. You're against the subway? You don't think subway cars are getting pushed over every day? It's because you're backwards and you're living in a bubble of Netflix. In this special, he says, Chappelle makes harsh jokes about many different groups, which is his style and a reason his fans love his comedy and commentary. That's right. His fans come for the fun and they get the fun. Stand-up comedians often expose issues that are uncomfortable because the art by nature is highly provocative. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. Stand-up comedians often expose issues that are uncomfortable because the art by nature is a highly provocative. Hey, Ted, there's a typo in that. You don't have the A in there. Stand-up comedians often expose issues that are uncomfortable because the art by nature is a highly provocative. You don't need an it's highly provocative. Whoever your secretary is, Mrs. Randos, I would suggest you fire them and get them on board with starting to protect these pizza shops that are getting burned down every day by jokes about overpriced pizza. Stand-up comedians often expose issues that are uncomfortable because the art by nature is highly provocative. Did you hear that, everybody? And even stand-up comedians? Apology accepted. As a leadership team, we do not believe that the closer is intended to incite hatred or violence against anyone per our sensitive content guidelines. Yeah, sure. We've had these operating principles around pleasing our members and artistic expression for many years, and the team's decision to put the closer on our service was consistent with them. So thank you. Ted Sarandi goes on. He goes, variety, quality of content is what members value most. Our hope is that you can be hugely inspired by entertaining the world while also giving you titles which strongly believe have no place on Netflix. This will not be the last title that causes some of you to wonder if you can still love Netflix. I sincerely hope that you can. Also, Netflix has children's programming. I don't fucking watch that. Doesn't mean I'm against... whatever. So... ooh, almost done. We're almost ready to start the episode. So what does that mean, you guys? What does that mean? Finally, an executive has backed up the art form, has said, like, guys, these are jokes. These are jokes, and they don't lead to... and this jump you make of, like, well, this can actually cause harm is just not based in any scientific research. In fact, scientific research proves the opposite. So now that you have science that you seem to believe in. Remember those posts they always make? We here believe in science. We believe in equality. We believe in love. Science is on that fucking... you're going to take that off all your fucking things on your lawn? You're going to take that off all your signs on your lawn? You're going to cross out the science part? So number one, let's protect these fucking pizza shops from the animals that attack pizza shops in stand-up comedy. And number two, how about some more executives? Take note and join in. And now, Netflix, now that you've said that, can you fucking start to, now that you've made this massive gain, can you start to protect the little guys? Can you start to protect stuff like Adrian's Parkland joke? I'm not even accusing you. I'm saying, like, now that you've done this, now that you've put the word in play, can you start protecting things like Adrian's Parkland joke? Where it's the same thing. It's not meant to incite any violence or hate. It's meant to entertain the people who would be entertained by it, who are watching the fucking... The degenerates on Netflix. It's called The Degenerates. So from here on in, and maybe even on your YouTube account, could you put up her fucking unedited... oh, what a good idea. Can you put up her unedited Parkland joke? That at the time you weren't able to stand up for stand-up comedy, but now you are. Oh, you guys should put up. Oh, what a good idea. Put up Adrian Appalucci's Parkland joke on Netflix's YouTube account, or a single clip of mine. A single clip. Please, come on. I've asked. But anyway, let's hope that this now, Dave Chappelle and Ted Sarandos, has broken down some barrier and we can start fucking doing this shit with telling those people, like, you don't understand this sport. You don't understand it. So get the fuck up back to the surface. Let the mole people laugh at dark, degenerate shit. I'm going to be promoting the fucking attributes of heroin in my stand-up comedy. I'm hoping you don't get into heroin, but I'm not going to shy away from talking about how fucking sweet it looks. You know, everyone has their thing and you might not like it and it's okay. Just, I don't know, put your hands over your ears and move on. Thank you, finally, one goddamn executive, Ted Sarandos, for fucking sticking up for us. The rest of you, we'd love to have you in. And comedians too. Fucking just stand up on the comedy side every time. It's an art form. Quit it with the fucking anti-science shit. Anyway, let's start this episode. It's a great one. It's a great one. Chloe LaBridge, by the way, don't forget to subscribe whenever you're listening to this. Tell your friends. If we get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, go to youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. I'm giving Box Muncher Marissa Pellegrino, I know that's not your name, and Kyla Fox, $100 a week raise. So if you support women, subscribe on YouTube. Go watch Yoga with Ari. It's every Monday in October. Also on youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. That's it. I got nothing else to promote. The Wilbur Theater, December 9th. Get tickets at arishaffir.com. And I don't know. My old special's on here on my YouTube account. And go watch my fucking Netflix special, Double Negative, where I talk about being pro-abortion, pro-murdering children. What if after my special came out, there was a rash of just fucking abortions? Anyway, you guys, Chloe LaBranche was fucking great in this episode. Make sure to follow her at Chloe LaBranche. And that's it. You guys, let's start. Ari Shaffir Skeptic episode 443. Girl interrupted. Rehab. Gotta go to rehab. No. Rehab. Fuck. Rehab. Rehab retards? No, that can't. I can't use that. Oh, I had a fucking title for it. Rehab. Maybe just rehab. Rehab retard. I'll think of something. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 443. I don't know. Rehab. Starts now. Where should we go? Oh, I know. It's a lot about coke use, too. So if you're going to be triggered by getting back into coke, if you want to, watch the episode. And if you don't want to, dude, I don't know. I might stay away. It sounds so fucking cool. Her life at 16 was cooler than mine has ever been. Oh, what a fucking good episode. All right, here we go. Start the episode.
Just enjoyed my cigarette until you ruined it for me.
Saying it makes you stink.
No, you're just saying that I'm gonna die, basically.
You'll live forever.
I was on a comedian soccer team. They have a soccer team that's like all comics.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I would smoke cigarettes like on the sideline before I'd go in.
Yeah, you have to. Or drink. Hmm. We used to drink in college. You'd drink like Boone's Farm in a cooler.
What's that? Is that from like the 1800s?
No, Chloe, it's not. It's
I was doing Four Locos.
It's kind of a precursor to that, without the caffeine, but it's like the same. It's cheap booze.
Mm-hmm.
Get you fucked up. It's wine, but like $3 wine.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but not the Trader Joe's $3 wine. It's like shitty wine. Boone's. You know, never had Boone's Farm. Where'd you go to college?
I went to SMU in Texas, in Dallas. Southern Methodist University.
What was the big booze there? Four Loko? What year was it?
I went there in 2009 or 2007, 2008. 2008.
Yeah.
I should know.
Yeah, it's like they didn't have Boone's Farm.
My little brother, he just went there, and he just graduated. And when he got there freshman year, there's the campus police, and he said to him, LaBranche, he was like, is your sister Chloe? And he remembered me from 10 years later.
The cop?
The cop.
That's great. That's great. You were that much trouble?
I was a little bit of trouble, for sure.
Here's what I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Well, we can fuck around first at all. You've been gaslit. We don't want to talk about that. I won't start. Here's what I'm starting to do now for these podcasts. I'm trying to start like 15 minutes in because my theory is it takes people a minute to warm up, myself included.
I feel like we've been warming up.
We have been warming up. That's not a sexual thing, you guys.
I mean, you did have your top off.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Just so you could do a segment on the street of celebrities just like us. Ari rented an Airbnb for these people just so when he came outside, they could be like, excuse me, are you Ari Shaffir?
It looked like a big shot. Yeah. You Ari Shaffir? Dude, I had that happen once in LA. I was walking with my scene partner for acting class, and she was so fucking hot. And then somebody was like, hey, you a comedian? And this was like, I wasn't doing anything then. I was like, yeah. And they were like, we saw you in like Washington, D.C. I had done a guest set.
Wow.
And I was like, what? And then she was like, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to get some pussy.
And but
did
you?
Not. No, no.
She was like, you're terrible at acting. You don't pull from any experience.
She was so hot. Jocelyn something. She was like too hot. You ever have somebody too hot that you're like, I don't know how to talk to you?
No, because I'm up there.
Oh, yeah. You're like entitled hot. Yeah. Anyway. No, we're not going to talk about any of that stuff. Don't worry.
Back to me being hot. We're not talking. We don't even talk about it.
No, that we can talk about. What would you rate yourself? No, we're not doing that. I mean, here's what I wanted. What?
Depends. In rehab, hard 10.
Rehab is a hard 10.
I'm hot. I'm like a hottest pole.
Yeah, because what do you get in rehab? You get really like. I assume it's like leather skinned, like.
Depends where you go.
Depends where you go.
Okay. You know, it's most important thing to do in rehab is when you get there, scope out the scene, get a boyfriend right away.
You really?
I mean, yeah, I've had like two rehab boyfriends.
Why? It makes it better?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because you're an addict, so you gotta transfer the addiction right away. They say, I remember, like, I wasn't a big smoker, and then the first time I went to a treatment, they call it treatment, but I just like rehab, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's more fun to call it that. And then they're like, if you don't smoke cigarettes, you should start.
You should start?
Uh-huh.
Because you need something to put the addiction on?
Yeah.
Damn.
I remember being outside smoking with a bunch of these, like, girls who were like, big heroin addicts, and they're like, I'm just like ripping my cig, and they're like, you smoke cigarettes like a drug addict. And I'm like, thank you. I was like, oh my God, thank you.
I am a drug addict. That's so nice of you.
Because like sometimes in rehab, like I remember feeling like a lot of rehab shame when I first went, because everyone would be like, you don't do heroin. You're kind of,
really?
You're a loser.
Damn.
They're like, you can't sit with us. Like you go sit with the alcoholics. Like you're a loser.
Because you don't do heroin.
I'm like, I'll show you guys. So you got to spend like a whole summer smoking crack and get back there and be like, I'm fucking.
I did it.
And they're like,
where's Margaret? Oh, Margaret's dead.
They're like, oh, we do ketamine now.
What did you do? What was your choice? What was your drug of choice? Booze, sure, first.
Definitely booze. That was my, I never call it booze because I'm like, that's not really my generation. Like, I feel like we don't call it booze.
We don't either. It's a throwback.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a throwback to cowboys and shit.
Oh, like Robert Redford?
That's a problem when I listen to like the 60s stuff. All my friends
are
like,
oh, it's like hair.
Yeah.
Women's hair.
Oh, really?
There you go. You can edit that.
Yeah, but if you listen to like any 60s songs, you'd be like, is this from your childhood? And you're like, no, it's what?
It's last week.
You can get into music from before you.
Oh.
Yeah, booze is just like a throwback term.
Oh, like I'll start doing stand-up and calling everyone gal?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be like.
But now watch, when you turn like 45, if you keep saying that, all the younger homies are going to be like, is that what they talk like when you're young? You're like, no.
And I'll be like, everyone's got, you know, COVID. I got scarlet fever.
There's got to be someone doing jokes like that.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody doing like old person jokes of COVID. Wait. So, first of all, I don't know where to start with this rehab shit.
I'm really ADD, so you're going to have to really direct this.
When did you bottom out? Like, who tells you, hey, it's time for rehab?
I told myself.
Oh, obviously, I got to go in with the Amy Winehouse song, Rehab.
Yes.
It's too on the nose, but it's such a great song. I actually choose four rehab-related songs.
I actually watched recently on YouTube her video of her last performance.
The wreck performance?
It was so sad. I had to stop.
Why? Say, like...
She was falling and like she couldn't sing and like there was, I think it was like one of her bodyguards or someone on the stage like pushed her back towards the mic when she was like swaying to start singing, and then the fans are like start singing the words at her and it's like, just let her leave.
Yeah, let her leave.
It was the last performance before she died.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah, let her just be done. You know? I'm gonna move over here. It just seems like, yeah, like there was that. Did you see the documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was like up there. She goes, "I don't want to do this." And all the background like players are just like, "All right, we're just gonna keep playing and like and like doing their do up." And somebody's like, "Get up there," and then you could tell on their voices like, "We getting paid regardless."
Do you ever think like at a wedding? You know how when they do, does anyone have anything to say or forever hold your peace? Do you think anyone's ever like, "Don't do it," and then they just are like, "Hit the music, we're doing it." Like, do you think they just like? Do you think they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how often is that effective?
Yeah, forever hold your peace. Someone's like, listen, I mean, it's got to be, because the father who doesn't want him to get married, he's already said it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people like that have already said their piece. The ex-boyfriend's already mentioned it. It would be a very rare moment where you're like, oh, like, no one knows, but I'm like, ah, he cheated on you.
But then you think if they're like, he cheated on her, like, do you think, what's the probability of that even stopping the marriage? Do you think they're like, all right, get this guy out of here? They're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, if she's like, I don't know what you're talking
about.
The same
way,
it would ruin the marriage.
Like this, no, it's the same way with the Amy Winehouse thing. They're like, we're just going to keep playing. We're just going to keep playing.
And she's like falling off stage, like, There's a story about Red Fox coming out in Vegas.
Okay.
And Vegas shows, like casino shows, like, they just pay you. It doesn't really matter who's there. Mm-hmm. They're paying you to like bring people to the casino, but they just have budgets. So like, what are you doing? Oh, taking your credit cards out in case we get into a gold card. Interesting. And he comes out and they play the Sanford Sun theme song, his like whatever, like, and he comes out and there's like 12 people there because it's a Monday, and he goes, nah, and he just like leaves, and the band just goes, and they just start playing the song again.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I wonder. Oh, that's crooked for sure. So wait.
Yeah.
I try to get all these things going, but it seems so fucking crooked sometimes. Yeah. Who put you into rehab?
I put myself.
You put yourself in. You said, yes. I can't handle it anymore?
Yeah.
What were you on? What were you doing at that point?
That point, the first time I went, I was like 26, I think.
Okay.
I was dating this guy, and I really liked him, I thought. I don't really know. But I had definitely had some problems before. Like, I just was like a big partier. My identity was like very wrapped around.
Where? New York?
It was in New York. My identity was just very wrapped around like getting fucked up. I was very much like party girl.
Yeah.
Like, in the scene, like New York party girl. And like in high school, I started drinking when I was younger, obviously. Then in high school. Before that.
Before high school?
Well, yeah.
I love these. I love people who bottom out. Like,
no, I didn't bottom out, but I did. I started doing coke when I was like 16.
What? Wow.
That young? Not for New Yorkers.
So you know the Strokes?
Yeah.
You know how they're like raised in like the rich New York? You're a rich kid, right?
I don't know.
This reminds me, like the first, second, third, fourth podcast I ever did, it was with this kid, Benji, and it was supposed to be about growing up rich. But he kept going like, what do you mean? I'm not rich. I don't know what I'm not rich. It's like, and then he was talking about his yacht. But he was like, it's a small yacht compared to other people. I'm like, dude, oh, so you can't even tell. What do you mean you don't know? Where'd you grow up? What neighborhood?
I grew up, my parents live on the Upper East Side. And then I grew up also out in Long Island because I'm from a huge family.
Oh.
So I'm one of seven.
Okay.
So I have five brothers and one sister. And then when I was in high school, my parents moved back to Manhattan because I went to boarding school.
Boarding school. I feel like you're probably a rich kid. It's not an insult.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know.
You wouldn't know.
That's so, but like, yeah, so everyone was doing, everyone got into coke when we were like 16, 15.
Because it's New York. That's the other thing I just realized. Like, you're in the part, one of the big party cities.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Of course it's going to be around.
And you're bored. You're in boarding school. It's boring sometimes. And you kind of like, they get, your parents are like, they give up supervision of you. They give you to someone else. But, you know, there's a lot of teachers, but they're watching a lot of kids.
Yeah.
The school I went to was like super elitist, and it was really great. But like, I kind of, I was always like the best at everything, I thought, when I was younger. And then when I went there, I was just not the best anymore at all. And I was like, I gotta
boarding school?
Kind of. I was like, I gotta get good at something else.
So
I just like to party.
You got good at coke.
Well, then when I was 16, I started doing like coke, and all my friends were doing it. We were like really into the club scene in New York. So
when was this?
When in like 2004 or something.
Oh damn. So that'd be the best time to do it.
It's like, yeah, it was like when Lindsay Lohan was at Bungalow and all that. So we had like, I'd go to like, when I was like 16, on the weekends we'd go leave boarding school and we'd all go into New York City, and I had like a vacant apartment I'd go stay in.
Whose?
It was like my parents. They weren't, because they were out, whatever.
Okay.
Cut that. And then
what?
I don't know. And then
it's all right.
And then
for the record, I'm pretty positive you were rich kid. Not that it's a problem.
Yeah.
But like,
my parents are
okay.
Really good parents. There's just like a lot of kids, and everyone was doing the same thing. It was like all the kids, everyone's doing the same thing of all my friends. And
the reason I want to know if it's rich kids is because also you have access to be able to pay for shit like that. Whereas like poor kids, like, I don't have money for coke. I don't have coke money.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really know because I was younger.
Right.
But so then I was like really into the club scene when I was like 16.
Where was Bungalow?
Bungalow is on 27th and 10th. And all
would
those...
she spin there?
Who?
Did she DJ there?
Who?
Would she sing?
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
No, she would just be there partying.
Oh, okay.
And that was like that era. And like, so I remember we'd go to Bungalow on Sundays because Sundays were like the big night at Bungalow. And then I'd always go to like Butter on Monday nights. It was Butter Mondays. In the summer, we'd go to Marquee Tuesdays, Tuesday Baby Tuesdays at Marquee. And then Kane had tribal night sometimes, which was super fun, which is now probably would be canceled.
Why?
Because I guess that's probably like, can't call something tribal night anymore.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Like, we're dressing like Africans. Like, what? Which Africans?
No, I was just on coke, so I looked really thin. And they're like, okay. And then,
first of all, that sounds awesome.
It was super fun.
Yeah. What kind of music was it?
Oh, it was like Justin Timberlake, like Sexy Back, that song, like that. I remember that song like super well from back then.
Yeah.
I was like, no, come on, be like, this is my shit. And you're like standing like at a table, and we used to always get like champagne. One of my friends would like put like strawberries in it, and we'd be like, this is so dope. I remember we used to always joke, cause like we were like 16, but we would never wait online. We would just like go straight up and like just like cut every line.
Yeah.
Cause we're like just these like, I don't know. And I remember we'd be like, the only lines I do are up my nose. Excuse me.
At 16?
And we were just, we're fun. And then when I was like 16, I had a, you know, Marquee?
No.
The nightclub?
I wasn't here for any of that. No, I do. I've heard of it.
I think
where
Chappelle
is
had his party there recently.
That was Marquee?
Yeah, that's okay, Marquee. Yeah. So we used to go there a good amount. And I had a...
Did you go to that?
No.
The comedian's ball?
I wasn't invited.
No, everyone's invited. It's for all comedians.
Am I a comedian?
Had you heard about it?
Yeah.
Then you were invited.
Oh, okay. Next time.
But literally, that's what he does. Like, he has someone at the door who just knows the comedy scene.
Oh.
And then they'd be like, yeah, it's a comic. That's
I went
comedian.
To one the other weekend.
A Chappelle party?
Yeah.
What was
the
that?
One at the Stand when he was here like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Ago.
He was doing a show.
Yeah, and then he
really
did like...
turn those into parties,
and
huh?
Then there were like after parties, and I was like staying there, and I was like, I didn't really know I was going to go because I was just like, I didn't even know what was going on, and I was wearing like a white turtleneck, like a little scarf, uh-huh. And I was just like standing downstairs, and Ian Lara goes, your whiteness is making me uncomfortable, Chloe. And it's all like rap songs, and so I was like, how does everybody know the words? I was like,
yeah.
I was like, ah. And then I go, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. And I guess Ian says to Karen, she's never coming back, is she? Because I'm like sober. I'm like, I feel so awkward.
Yeah. First of all, it's a lot of black, and also it's a lot of boozing.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's not your scene.
Yeah. Okay, so I was at Marquee and I was like doing, I had never done like probably more coke than that in my whole life.
Did you go to the bathroom to do the coke or did you just do it right there?
You would do it like in the bathroom or like, you know, like bumps. And
bumps to the table?
I don't know, both, I don't remember. Or you like pour it out in the back. I don't remember.
I saw somebody doing it at the cellar once or the upstairs, the Olive Tree, just on a cell phone at the Olive Tree. And look, whatever, I've been around coke. It's not that, it's not the biggest deal, but it was like, even for that, I was like, Jesus. It's so public here. This is just a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's like, I love when people get casual about drug use.
I remember in high school, like one of the first times I did coke, it's like I'd been smoking weed obviously for like years and I didn't really know what you do on coke. So we did coke and then we ordered food and the food came and we're like trying to eat like chicken Caesar wraps and they're just like falling out of our mouth and we're like, we don't really know what to do on cocaine. Because, like, we had never done coke. We just, like, saw one of our friend's older sisters had her phone, and she was, like, in the bathroom or something. So we took her phone. We found a number that said, like, white. So we just took the number and called it. And we're like, hi, can we get some white? And the dealer just met us.
Wow.
And we just, like, all right, here we go.
Did you ever have a dealer go look at you and be like, no, you guys are kids?
No.
Never.
We're their demographic.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I was at Marquee when I was like, I guess I was 16, and then I had done like so much coke, and I was so tiny then. I guess I'm pretty tiny right now.
You're pretty small, yeah.
Like Olsen Twin.
But you coked up, and 16 would be like, yeah.
And I would wear Spanx, like those things to make you like skinnier type of thing, but I would wear them just so I would put my coke in my Spanx. So I'd have like coke, cell phone, a pack of cigarettes.
What, like tucked into
like,
the-
Like tucked onto the side, like compression shorts.
Oh, yeah. Like wait, there was no bulge?
I don't have a dick. Oh, but no, I'd be wearing
no,
like a dress.
The coke.
No, but I'd be wearing a dress.
Okay.
I'm not like packing like an ounce.
Okay.
Even, a kilo,
even
a
like
bulge.
This, even like a little, like that much. Dude, one time at the stand, as much as I love coke heads, because they're such a specific type of drug addict, they're the most embarrassed about it and love finding out who else is into it.
And then they like think that they're so secretive and they start like going around together, like doing it. They think they're so secretive.
They think they're so secretive.
Honestly, cocaine is the most boring drug. It's like you just go there and like you get these dudes who I remember I used to do coke with. Like I dated this one guy who went to Princeton. He was so boring. Every time we would do coke, all he would talk about is history.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, I don't care. And we'd be up to like 7 in the morning and he's just talking about like all the wars. He's like, honestly, my favorite period is antebellum. And I'd be like, get me the fuck out of here. But
cokeheads think they're so, they think everything they're saying is so important and interesting.
And they're just talking over each other.
Yeah.
And then like, then I was at a bachelorette party recently and it was like these girls doing coke and like in their like, everyone's like 30. And I'm like, okay, first of all, everyone is just behaving right now like we're at a fucking business meeting shouting out Shark Tank ideas at each other right now. Meanwhile, you're 2 months pregnant. You're doing blow because you're in denial. You hate your life because you just moved to Greenwich. Your husband's cheating on you. We got no businesses here. And then they're just like yelling out. They're like, I think you should name your son Tom. And they're like, go with William. Tom's overdone. And I'm like, this is what we're doing on cocaine now?
Raging about your son's names.
This is what we're doing now? Like, it's insane. Oh, God.
Yeah, it is a weird one because it just, and everyone goes to the bathroom like 50 times and you're like, right, you're like, it's not a secret. I get it. You're like, they wink at each other and like, let's go. Just say like, hey, you want to come do some coke? Like, if I go, I'm like, hey, I'm going to smoke a joint. Anybody want to come? You can just say it out loud.
Yeah.
But like the coke, they just have to like.
Then they're like in the bathroom.
Oh my God. You guys have made 5 trips to the bathroom this hour. We know you're not that incontinent.
Yeah. And people are doing that at the stand. I feel like.
A lot.
And so I like to do this when I see people doing that stand. I'll go up to like, it's always like two, like a group of guys. And I'm just like, what are you guys doing? And they're like,
what are you guys doing?
And they're like, nothing. I'm like, can I come? I was like, are you guys doing coke? And they're like, no. I'm like, can I come? I was like, I want to watch. And they're like, Chloe, get away. No. And I'm like, I want to come. They're like, bad Chloe.
It is fun to
every play. Time I leave the stand, comics are just saying to me like, they're just like, take care of yourself, okay? I'm like, oh, okay. Like, are you behaving? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, more or less. I don't know what.
But so I was going to say is this was kind of like the beginning of it. So I was at Marquee. I'd done a bunch of coke, and I had a seizure.
Whoa,
and,
what?
Yeah.
At Marquee?
Yeah, so they called like an ambulance, and, you know, I remember the next thing I know, I'm like, being taken out by like two police, one on either side, and I'm like,
what?
And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what are you guys doing? Because, like, when you have a seizure, you have, like, amnesia. You don't remember anything. And I'm like, you just had a seizure. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And then they're like, why are you bleeding? And I had, like, blood all down my dress. Because I,
like, that's a good question. It's a good question.
Because I, like,
it's
bit my good lip.
On your seizure?
Yeah, because I, like, bit my tongue really bad. And then I remember getting into, like, on the gurney going in, and I had my bag, and I had so much drugs in it. And I remember seeing one of my friends, because, like, half of my high school was outside of the club at this point after this, because we had come from a big, like, party, and everyone went to Marquee after. And I remember seeing one of my friends and, like, throwing her my bag when I'm by the cops, being like, take this, because I didn't want to, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then... whatever, I went to the hospital, and I was telling everyone there I was roofied, and everyone's like, believed me. They're like, you're roofied with cocaine? I'm like, you don't even understand people these days. They want you awake for when they assault you. They want you
you're roofied on cocaine.
Wide awake. But so
I
that
love when you hear those things, and you're like, oh, okay. First, you're, because people don't think people are lying. That's your normal stance, like people are telling the truth. So then it's like, all right, well, let me make sense of the world based on this new information.
Yeah.
I guess people are roofing each other on coke, and you don't go like, oh, that chick was lying. And you're like, oh. Here's the big story. Do you remember right around that time, Martin Lawrence was caught running naked with a gun
in
Beverly Hills or somewhere in L.A.? Do you remember the story?
No, I wasn't even doing comedy then. Okay. I wasn't involved.
Yeah, but he was a big fucking superstar.
Yeah.
It was Martin Lawrence at his height. And he was dehydrated. He had dehydration. And so I was like, oh, okay. And that was the story. Until we found my buddy's manager. He wasn't his manager yet, but he was my other buddy, Freddie Soto's manager at the time, was like telling us, was like, about publicists. And he was like,
everyone get one.
What?
Everyone get one.
Yeah, but he was like, well, yeah, that's not the real story. Like, what do you mean? He was dehydrated. He goes, okay, well, let me just tell you what I do as a manager. I immediately, if there's a scandal like that, I'll call the publicist. Like, let's spin this.
Yeah.
He goes, Ari, have you ever been dehydrated? I was like, yeah. He goes, do you run a lot when you're dehydrated? Have you ever taken off all your clothes or grabbed a gun or wanted to grab a gun? Are those symptoms of dehydration? And I'm like, no, really the opposite. He goes, yeah. It was crack or something.
It's like people believe what they want to believe. It's the same way when someone will say something about someone and be like, this person's a terrible person. Like, they're a racist. They're this and that. People will believe it if they want to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, then that stamp is, like, just on you.
I feel it's kind of basically just, like, the first person to get to it and post the public opinion of it. People follow that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, like, you could, like, be helping a homeless guy up and, like, putting shoes on him. And it's, like, if the first thing is, like, you think you're better than this guy, forcing him to wear your shoes. And it's, like...
Oh, you want him to walk a day in your shoes?
Yeah.
Because you won't be able to live a life in those shoes because you have a house.
Yeah. And if that's the first story, they'll catch a lot of flack. There'll be people like, well, come on. But, like, it's already going to be a lot of flack.
Yeah.
But if the first story is, look at this hero cop putting shoes on a homeless guy, then it's just like, goes from there. I don't know. Sam, so you had the seizure. You bit your tongue off.
I didn't bite it off.
You bit it. Is that a normal thing, having seizures on coke?
Oh, well, so what happened was that, and then I went back to my school, and then I was, like, feeling a lot of shame because all the parents would be like, stay away from Chloe, kind of, like, she's an addict, she's a cokehead, she's doing drugs, and so I just started to feel, like, really embarrassed, so that's when I really just started, like, all right, this is my identity, and I got kind of wrapped up in it.
Your identity was to do drugs?
I was just like, I'm a piece of shit.
Oh, wow.
Everyone thinks I'm a piece of shit. This is who I am now.
So you believed them.
And I was just young. I was like young. And when you're like that age, you're very impressionable.
Yeah.
So I just became like the bad girl, like whatever. And I just kind of like held on to it. When I went to college, I was just like partying a ton. And then I had two more seizures.
Were you fucking a lot?
Having sex?
Yeah.
I was a virgin.
What do you mean having, like, you don't know what I'm asking when I say, were you fucking a lot?
I was a virgin when I had that seizure.
Wow.
I was a virgin when I was doing the cocaine then.
Were dudes hitting on you?
Yeah.
16-year-old at a fucking at a nightclub, you must be hit on.
Yeah, for sure.
What'd you do? Just be like, beat it? Or
yeah, I would never go home with anyone. If I hooked up with someone, it'd be like I had a boyfriend.
Right, okay.
But not then. Then I got a boyfriend. Like, anyways, but then I didn't lose my virginity until I was a senior.
In college? Oh, wow.
That's pretty old.
That is old considering what you're around.
I was doing coke when I was 16.
Yeah, 15. Which is like the two, like, very advanced and very behind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually not very promiscuous. It's funny because I was, like, blacked out for 10 years and, like, I don't really, I don't never been raped, you know. Well, I don't really know. I guess it's between me and God, huh? Three way. but I'm saying, like, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so then that happened, and then in college, that was what I was doing. I was just a huge partier, and I started having more seizures, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're just a drug addict." And then that was when I was like, "I should go to rehab." Then I didn't go, and then I was in New York, and then I started like getting on this really bad.
Wait, this is after college?
In college, I had a few more seizures. I got kicked out of college.
Wait, did you go to the doc? Like, what were the seizures?
I was having those from Xanax because I got like really into Xanax.
Oh.
I would like sleep for days and eat like full bars of Xanax.
And those would give you seizures?
After, for like 2 days. And when I first got to college, I sold Coke.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the most I bought like 97 grams of Coke once. And I like rented out like the top floor, like the top penthouse room of this hotel at SMU. And I would sell. I was a freshman and I was selling to all like the seniors and stuff.
You're Jewish or not?
Mm-mm. Good at business.
Yeah.
And my dad's good at business, so I'm good at business.
Yeah.
And so yeah. And so I was just like, this is my identity. I remember like I would bring my passport because we were in Texas. So I'd bring my passport out with me at night because like me and my friend would be like, in case we're going to go for a run to Mexico with our dealer. But he never would take us. But he got shot. He died when we were sophomores. So RIP. Oh. And we'd go to his house and he'd let us cut the coke with him. And he'd be like, we're going to make flake. It's 40-60. And
whoa. What's that term?
Flake is a type of coke. It's like the way they cut it. So he'd make like 40-60. 40% coke, 60% whatever he'd cut it with. It was like really wild.
Yeah. Wow.
I was fun, I think.
When you buy coke, are you aware of if it's a 40-60 or a 50-50?
No, you have
or,
no idea what it no is. Idea. But that's because we were hanging out at the dealer. I remember I'd be like wearing like little dresses and my headband. And one time, I went to this, me and this guy who I was friends with, we went to one of these, I remember we'd go to like these dealers' house in Dallas. And I'd sit there and there'd be like a guy sleeping on the couch and there'd be like pit bulls and just like Glocks on the table. And I would just be like sitting there in like a little dress when we'd be picking up drugs. And I remember one time I touched the gun like this and one of them pulled a gun on me and I was like, sorry. I was like, my bad. They're like, no touching. And then I was like,
in hindsight, that's a good
rule.
And
then, role. Like, my guy friend was like, she's cool. I was
like, we disagree. She's touching our guns.
I was like, I'm cool, man. And I remember I'd come from, like, a day party at SMU, and I had no shoes on, and I was wearing a sundress. And I was, like, so drunk. And I was, like, I just need, like, a lot of coke. But, yeah, so then whatever. And then I was, like, then I came to New York, started doing stand up when I was like 25, and I was like, I'm so funny, but I was like, obviously awful. And then I got into this bad habit. So my schedule, my drug schedule was this. I would wake up at like whatever, noon or something. I would take Adderall.
Yeah.
Then at like 3 o'clock, I'd start drinking like beers. Because yeah. I'd be like, I have to write. Or go. I would go to like an open mic in the basement of like Laughing Buddha or something, and they make you do like drink minimums there.
Oh, I hated that.
And
as a comic, they'd make you buy.
And so I'd be like, start drinking. Because
I was Laughing Buddha. Was that?
It was at like Climate Lounge. Jeff Lawrence.
Oh.
Yeah, right here.
Laughing Buddha in the East Village.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they had a mic there.
Yeah.
What is that place normally? Is that a nightclub?
No, it's like a beer bar.
I've always been by it, but they always seem like they have a bouncer outside.
Yeah.
Like a guy in a suit.
But it's funny because when I did Laughing Buddha, it was like the comics that, when we started, it was like me and Usama and like Blair Saki. Like that was like, we're all there. And like, it's just funny to talk because we're like, remember Laughing Buddha? So like I would do that. Then I would start drinking like beers at like 3. And then I would like do some shitty bar, like some weird show. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm a genius. And I was so bad. And I thought I was so funny. And but wasn't. And
you were coked up then?
I don't know what. No, I'd be like probably drunk. I stopped doing coke a little bit. Cause and then I would start drinking hard alcohol, and then at like, you know, later I'd start doing coke, and then to go to bed I would take a Xanax. So I did that schedule for like a year or two, every day. Yeah, that was like my lifestyle.
Wow.
Oh, and then when I get home at night, I drink like 2 bottles of red wine because I was like, this is what adults do, and I was obsessed with watching The Godfather, so I'd watch Godfather 2 like almost every night. And just be like drinking red wine.
Did anybody, I mean, So, I mean, I was walking around after Soder's, Dan Soder's special taping.
Okay.
We're all walking to a party, a celebration party that he didn't want to be at. He's like, I don't know, not an introvert, but like introverted somewhat. And he's like, I don't want to be at a party. It's all for me. They had a cake for him that with him as like a 49er. And I don't think he even saw it. He just kind of walked. But anyway, him and me and Nate and maybe somebody else, we're all walking from... What's the matter? You all right?
No, I had a bug on my face, I think.
From...
no, I'm having a seizure.
Bowery Ballroom to the Village Underground, to the Fat Black. And they just kept passing places where Nate and him had done like mics and barked and shit. And they were just like super alcoholics at the time. And they were just reminiscing about like super heavy, like booze use.
Oh my God. It was so crazy. Also, so.
But just casual about it. It was just like everyone did it.
Oh, I remember. It was crazy. I remember like the other day, actually, I remember the other day, like 2 days ago, this girl who I went to high school with, she called me and she was like, hey, like I'm starting to do stand up. Like, can I get coffee with you? And I was like, sure. And so she's like, I'm going to an open mic at Greenwich Village. Do you want to come? And I was like, sure. So I went with her and I did the mic. And
when was this?
Like a week ago.
Recently?
Because this girl went to high school with was like, whatever, I just started doing stand-up, you get coffee with me. So
yeah, sure.
She's like, I'm going to a mic.
You still do
like,
mics?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Like not that often, but like I'll go.
Yeah, I got to start going more.
I'm not a, I'll do whatever. Yeah. And
they're a good way to work out brand new jokes.
Yeah, so then... at the mic, everyone was like such a pussy. Like, people are like, the material they're doing is so stupid. And bad comedy needs to be bad comedy. Like, the open mic comedy that's bad should be so bad. But their bad open mic comedy, like, was just so boring. I remember when I was doing the mics, when I started, we would be worried that people would have a gun, these psychopaths. We'd be like, this guy's gonna kill someone. Like,
oh, you mean the open micers?
The open micers. Yeah, they were so hardcore terrible.
Yeah.
Like psychotic.
And you just have to be, there's like every third person is going to have a long career in stand-up. Then half the people are just like, try it for a year, then get out. And then the other third, I mean, that's one third. And then the last third is the gun psychos. Like, you're going
to
be committed.
But there were none of those at this mic. Everyone like, they were just trying to do like woke stuff.
Fucking stupid comedy got popular.
It was so boring. And I was just like, I remember the open mics being literally looking around like, this guy's going to, I remember this one guy came in, he's like, I went to my dad's office and I brought a fucking bomb. And he was like, I hate the man. And we're all sitting there and we're like, this is not okay.
Dude, we had a guy at our open mics, kind of a stranger, it's the unurban. Oh, and it was coffee shop. And this guy, he always do this joke about being a self-hating gay. He was like, ugh, I know I'm going to hell, obviously. I'll suck a dick and that's disgusting. And but he, like, he literally hated himself for being gay. It was so raw and real. I'm like, damn.
There was this mic that my friend used to run that we used to go to, and there was this really old guy who would come and do the mic. Like, he was,
oh yeah, the old people too.
He would come every week and he was so old and he was so racist. Every week he was just beyond racist. He'd be like, slaves, bring them back. And like, it was the most racist thing. And then one week he didn't come. And everyone was like, where is he? And someone said, he actually died.
What, really?
He legitimately died. So they were like, we should have a service for him at the mic. So they're like, we should say a few words. So the host's like, had like a little service at the mic and said a few words. They're like, we just want to say thanks, racist Joe. We're going to miss you at the mic. Everyone was like, does someone want to go up and do one of his bits? Like,
wow.
Does anyone want to say something about
it? So they don't have that kind of craziness at the
mics
anymore?
No, it's just not a thing anymore.
Lame. That's where all the good shit came out of.
I mean, because I used to sit at mics and laugh. Like, because it
was so out there.
Yeah. And it's so fun to see like the comics that you started with and the ones who like are still in it.
Emma was telling me about some open mic or same thing where it was like a guy who's not going to last, you know, just like create, like doing this for your fucking three friends that are there, some frat guy, and just saying the most racist
recently?
Stuff. And she was like a year ago. And it was just like, and she was like loving it. She was like, damn, dude, you're going for it. She's like, you know, I don't agree with any of this, but fuck, balls on you.
Good. I got to go to that mic.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to go to that one.
Yeah. They taught Andre Agassi. They always say like they taught him how to hit hard first. He's a tennis player.
Mm-hmm. Isaga.
What?
Isaga. That's how I used to call him growing up. Agassi,
oh, really?
Backwards.
Isaga. But then they taught him how to aim.
Yeah, I mean,
and these open micers, like, just hit hard.
Hit fucking hard. Later. He was smoking crack, that guy.
That's right.
Agassi's the man.
Agassi's the man.
It was, you got, it was like, you're two ways. You're either a Sampras fan or you're an Agassi fan.
I was straight up Issa-ga.
You mean all my brother, yeah. Issa-ga. We go to like the open.
Arnold Palmer for golf. It's like, yeah, that guy's got drinks named after him.
Oh, dude, Phil Mickelson smoking cigs on the golf course?
John Daly was the best.
Is that the one who was doing it?
Yeah, and he was having shakes, trying to like, he's quitting alcohol. And he's having the shakes because of withdrawals.
Was he
and
just he killing it?
He was like, couldn't hit a putt. They had to lead him off. Oh. Like, they're like, nah. But then one day he was like, had a press conference. And he was like, they're like, how's the training going? He's like, good, good. I'm drinking again. And everyone's like,
you got to slip it in casual.
And he goes, no, it's okay. Like, just little beers. And you see all the press corps. Because they're like, dude, we're beyond terrible on alcohol. And he's like, no, I can handle it. And they were all like, they all want to say, you can't. That's not their place.
I would just be in the back. I'd be like, Journey. I'd be like, you do you, babe.
Everyone's on their own path. God, that sounds like such a fun time to be that, like, to go Xanax to sleep, coke to even out after alcohol.
It wasn't. It was miserable. It's no way to live. You are a shell of a person.
Well, there's like in the moment and then there's overall.
Yeah.
You
but
know
I'm
I mean?
Using
you know
all of those things because I absolutely hate myself.
Right.
You know, I'm miserable.
Is that what they told you in rehab?
No, I hadn't gone to rehab yet. So then I was watching the Kardashians. Uh-huh. And in this episode, yeah. I'd been wanting to go to rehab since I was at SMU. I remember I'd like print out pamphlets of like Cirque Lodge and stuff. Like those bougie rehabs and like whatever. And I'd be like just like slip them to my parents and be like, how about it? You know, I'd be like the opposite of a tooth fairy, like putting them under their pillows.
Wow.
I'd be like, let's go. I need some horse therapy.
You wanted to go to rehab.
Yeah, because it was like, I thought it was like cool. But
you said yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. But then they're just like, no, like you just grow up, grow up, Chloe. Cause you know, when you're young, you don't know. Like,
yeah.
And so then I saw the Kardashians and then Scott Disick went to this rehab in Connecticut called Mountainside. And I was like, I could do that.
Scott Disick is the one that knocked up that chick so he could stay on the show. Mm. Yeah, what a baller move that was.
So I went to it, and it was actually like my first rehab, and it was the only one I didn't get kicked out of. And I stayed there, and it was great. And then I was sober for like 8 months after it.
Okay, so walk me through what rehab is. They're not forcing you because you wanted to go.
No, I needed to go. I was so miserable. I was getting blacked out every like single night. Like
this
I was
into comedy or before comedy?
When I kind of started.
Okay.
And also at that point,
blackout.
Oh, I was like getting, I would get blacked out. Like I was just really, really not okay. I was so upset. I would like, not about comedy. I was just like so sad. And I was 20. My parents were getting divorced. And it's kind of strange when your parents, it's bizarre to have your parents get, it's different to be a child of divorce, but being an adult of divorce is interesting because the roles switch. So when you're a child of divorce, your parents are still forced to be the adults in the divorce. But when you're an adult of divorce, your parents can become the children of the divorce because they think you can handle it. You know what I mean?
So they're going to you for like advice?
Not
like-
even. They're just like not hiding anything from you. They're just like, this is what's happening. We're done.
We're breaking up. You've broken up before. You get it.
Yeah. Whereas like, when you're a child, it's everything's very sensitive and they're keeping it. So it's like, it's interesting. Like they can just flip the roles. So I think being an adult of divorce is harder than being a child of divorce. So I was super upset about that because I loved being in my family. I was very proud of being in my family. And then I was like, I was just whatever.
Yeah.
And so I went to that rehab. It was great. It's pretty funny. And
wait, I wanted to hear more about this rehab. I got
that was my most boring one.
No, but I want to hear about it. Should I try a cigarette?
Yeah, man, do it.
Yeah.
Don't be a bitch.
First, I was already gonna do it. What was I just saying? Oh, I tried to sound natural on stage because I was too contrived in the beginning. I was like, so I was at the store today. Did you ever notice? And it was like, my first girlfriend was like, that's funny, but you were funny in the dining hall.
But I'm breaking up with you. In the dining hall.
Just when I was around my friends. No, from college.
You were that asshole?
No, it was just like
holding court in the dining hall? That guy. That guy's the worst. That's like every guy at an open mic right now. I was super funny in the dining hall. I'm going to be the next Dave Chappelle.
So anyway.
Oh, that trans bit? That crushed in the dining hall at my NESCAC.
My what?
NESCAC?
What's that?
New England School. CAC. I can't remember the rest. Arts and Science or something. No, I don't know. I'd cut that. It's embarrassing. I don't know. It's like all the. It's like a branch of all these like little liberal art schools in the East Coast. They call them NESCACs.
Oh. You ever see how Chappelle smokes cigarettes? He smokes wrong. Like you smoke like Eagles, I guess.
That's how boys smoke. Oh, not like that. But boys smoke cigarettes like this. This is how dudes smoke.
Like that? He smokes like this. It's so weird.
My mom, like,
where'd you learn how to do it?
Obviously, my mom hates that I smoke cigarettes. And I got to, like, a phase later, and, like, now that I'm just, like, I don't care. Like, I'll just smoke in front of my parents.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we'll be at, like, a family thing. Like, after dinner, I'll just sit there.
You shouldn't smoke. We shouldn't get divorced.
And I'll just, that's what I said to my parents. I was like, you guys shouldn't get, they're like, we're getting divorced. I'm like, how are you guys, I was like, divorce is expensive. Like, how are we going to pay my rent? And they're like, why don't you get a fucking job? I was like, why don't you marry your fucking soulmate? So we could have this settled.
So great to throw shit back in their face.
But that didn't work out. Didn't get them back together.
Threats didn't.
Doesn't work with ex-boyfriends either.
Yeah. Okay, so now what I wanted to do is, oh, so here's what I was going to say. So when I started doing stand-up, to try to like sound less contrived, that was the word I wanted to avoid at all costs. So I would like do crowd work a little bit for 5 minutes out of my 15. And then if I started bits after that, it would sound really bad to like go into like bit mode.
Yeah, you'd feel like.
Yeah, so I'd have to like make it match. So like that shit when you didn't know we were like on air, like that's the goal, to get to just be natural shit.
I did it.
Yeah.
Now I can die.
Now you can like.
Now I can die my alcoholic death and I'll get credibility.
That's right. Okay, wait. So. Damn. So wait, what was I going to say? Oh, okay. So you walk through the doors. How do they meet you?
So what happens is, like, basically when you first get to a rehab, you're usually, like, pretty unwell. And obviously, no one goes into rehab like, I'm having a pretty good day. Right. Let's bottom out again.
Yeah.
So you get to rehab and you go to detox. And detox is the best part of rehab. It's so nice and it's so fun. Oh, my God. So you go to detox. Detox is, like, usually super nice. And it's like very comfy beds, and they just load you up on pills, like on so many pills.
To what, make you sleep?
They give you like, if you're coming off alcohol, you're on tons of Ativan. And there's
Ativan.
Like tons. You're just like on a cloud.
What is Ativan? Ativan is the shit that like chalks up your system so you don't have like the shakes?
Yeah, and it's kind of like an anti-anxiety.
Okay.
So you get on a bunch of Ativan so you don't have seizure. Okay. Or like alcohol tremors
it
and stuff.
It just knocks you out too, or no?
You're just kind of like, woo, killing it, chilling. And then like if you're coming off of heroin, like people are detoxing, and it's just like, detox is hilarious because everyone's just out of their mind in it. And you're like, detox crew, that's who you end up being the closest with in rehab. They're like your open mic crew from the beginning days. And I remember like in detox at the first rehab, like we're there and like they're teaching us like we're doing like yoga, but we're all in like Ativan and we're just like in bathrobes. Like there was this one smoking area and you're only allowed to have one person out there at a time. This one guy went out there, smoked a cigarette, and he said he was reading a book, but he passed out and the book was upside down the whole time. And we're like banging on the door so people can go smoke cigarettes. Everyone's like, he's like, I'm reading. We're like, the book is upside down.
You're like, you're clearly not.
He's like, I'm Jewish. You read the other way.
It's not, you know, backwards, not upside down. You don't read from the bottom up. You read from the right to the left.
Listen, in my last relationship, things were backwards. The guy ate my butt before my vagina. And
what?
Yeah, I was like, this is off.
Wow. What a move. You went straight to beating your butt. That, I mean...
I told him I wouldn't talk about him in comedy, but that didn't say his name, and that's fine.
Yeah, sure.
That is comedy.
That is nuts.
I figured it out. It's because he's dyslexic.
Shut up. That's a joke.
It's not, but it's actually true.
He is dyslexic?
Yes, so that's why. That's why.
What's the feeling you have? If you're a woman and you're like, it's going... And it's like, wait, you're passing by the...
With me, what's the feeling? Red flag.
Red flag.
Probably, no?
I don't know. I'd be like, damn, this guy is into making me happy.
I got him to like tie me up because I was like, this is a good trick.
What do you mean?
I can't leave.
Oh, yeah. There's certain things someone will do sexually in a relationship that'll make you think twice before breaking up with them. You know, like, hold on. Do I want to get rid of it? Like, be smart here. Like, don't be rash. Some chick I was dating, every time she left in the morning to go to work, she would blow me and then leave. Like, that was the last move. She gave me a blowjob to completion, and then back. And then go. And
do you think you would like her more if it wasn't to completion and she just left?
No, that would have driven me crazy. Just like, get me. I'm like, I'm almost there. I'm like, yeah.
Gaslighting. She's cum lighting you.
Yeah. But I was like, I couldn't break up with her. It was like, it took me a lot longer.
Blue lighting you.
Blue lighting? Blue balling?
But blue lighting, like gaslighting.
I like it. They're giving you positive things. Like, no, I always said I loved you. It's like, what?
That's amazing. I don't know what you're talking about. I always loved you.
Yeah. I cheated on you a lot. Like, no, I've been around you. You couldn't have. No, I did. Like,
no, I did. No, you're with me all the time.
What's, we got to have a line between gaslighting and just normal lying. I feel like white chicks have invented all these rules to get us away from just mistreating you in any way.
Give me a break.
It's like, we're allowed to lie. Yeah. I got caught fucking, fucking a girl with a cigar in the Oval Office.
Guys,
I'm not just going to admit that.
Guys are allowed to not like you, okay? But like, I am, I feel like I'm quite entitled that when a guy doesn't like me, I'm like, I think, like, I remember this guy was like, I don't like you. And I was like, you have a lying problem.
Because you do, he
you
does like
do you. Like me. He's like, I don't like you. I'm like, you're a pathological liar. You're in love with me.
Why can't you accept this?
I have trouble like letting go. I also, since I have, like, I am like shameless, like in terms of like, I'll text a dude whatever I want. I need to work on boundaries. And like, I don't really care. I'll just like fire him off, you know? And I should work on that. But I think the reason why is because like, I don't have like any sort of like fear instilled with me when it comes to men because I have five brothers.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, like, I'll just say what I want.
Yeah. Eating ass before pussy. That's such a fucking pull. I've never heard of that.
Now I miss him.
I heard of one guy who took shrooms before he smoked weed. One guy.
One of my friends tried coke before she smoked weed.
That's crazy. But you can't be like gateway drug. I think they're going to go coke is a gateway drug to weed. Wait, okay. So they walk through the door. You're in this fun
you go to,
it, detox
you go,
place.
Yeah, it's all right. You
lithium
go to,
or no? That's anti-psychotic?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you go to your detox, whatever, you're chilling. You go there for like 4 days, whatever, how much you need. Then you go into the regular part of the rehab.
Yeah.
And in the regular part, you know, you do your day-to-day, which is like you have to wake up, you go to breakfast, and then you have groups all day, like group therapy. Then you have one-on-one therapy. Then depending like where the rehab is, like I went to my first one was in Connecticut. And so, like, there were, like, outdoors wood course, like, courses we would do, like, obstacle courses in the trees and stuff. And they made us go camping one night.
This is the first one? No.
Yeah. And there, oh, every morning at 7, you have to go to meditation. And there was sitting meditation or reading meditation. Reading was in a chapel. Sitting was, like, you go in this room, and they're lighting incense, and you do, like, a 30-minute meditation. And you go to breakfast, and you get, like, a little bit of chill time. And then... yeah, then you just have groups all day. And then you do, like, your outdoor activities. There's, like, a Zen garden. You have to do all this shit. You do, then they
what's the activities? Like, sweeping, like, fallen leaves and stuff?
No. Like, you go on the ropes courses and stuff.
And what does that do? Does it keep you occupied?
Build team building and trust. Like, we're doing trust falls.
And you ever has to catch you?
Yeah, just learn to trust people.
Wow.
I remember me and my friends joking about, like, when we get out of rehab, we're like... we're going to take it easy when we get back into using. You know, we're like, yeah, last night was a
when
good...
when we get back into using.
Yeah, we'd be like, last night was a good night. Like, I had, like, one bong hit, did 4 trust falls, 7 beers. You know, you got to use what you learned.
Trust falls would be a good thing at a fucking using party.
They should use it. They're probably doing those at open mics right now, trust falls.
What? They're such fucking pussies. It's because people now get into this for fame and success instead of just to escape normal life. It really changed stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, whatever. Okay, so for how much does this cost, this place?
I don't know.
You don't have any idea?
I think like insurance covered part of it, and then the rest is like, rehab's expensive.
Rehab's expensive, yeah.
It's very expensive.
I had to try to get somebody into a sort of a stress rehab, and we were looking at the ones, you know, and there's, what's the one in Malibu?
Which one? Promises?
Promises.
Or not the one on the commercials. The other one. Promises.
Promises.
I went there. I got kicked out.
Okay, that was we'll get into that.
That was, I was going to say that was my last one, but then I went to like 3 after that.
How, fuck, okay, shit. I got to keep this in some sort of form.
Sorry.
Why'd you, I have it.
Some woman.
I kicked out of promises. But anyway, we're trying to get, I'm writing notes. If you're listening, I'm writing notes to get back to this. Oops, that's a question, not a clip. oh, we tried to get her into promises, and we looked at the price tag, and it's like, oh, we can't. We'll have to do a fundraiser. It's like we can't afford this. It's crazy.
It's like 60, 70, 66.
What?
1,000.
Per?
For the stay.
For the whole stay. It was the monthly fees were just like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is more than any of us are making.
I threatened them when I went there. They were like, they pulled me. I went in, and I like threatened them. They're like, because I was at Promises in West L.A. first. And I, when I was in the, that's like the younger, shittier one in West L.A.
Yeah.
And I found like a dope ball in my drawer next to my bed. A dope ball is like, so when someone does heroin, they take like the excess from the syringe and you put it on like a cotton ball and it soaks up dope, like the heroin. So like these brown cotton balls. And I found one in my room. And so I said to them, I was like, I want to get transferred to Malibu. I'm not doing this place. There's a dope ball in my room. I'm not fucking doing this. Like, I'm
there should not be a dope ball in your room. And if you're trying to clean up, that's a fair request.
Yeah. So then they were transferring me.
I want to do the beach one.
Yeah. So then I got transferred to that one, and I was like, they're like, okay, we'll transfer you to the Malibu one, and I was like, okay, like before I go, like I'm just gonna need like 2 days to like think. And we're like in LA. They're like, what? Because I had planned. I was like, I'm gonna go check into like a hotel. My plan, I was going to go check into the Sunset Tower for 2 days and just to relax, clear my head. And they're like, absolutely fucking not. If you want to come to the Malibu one, you are coming with us right now. I'm in like a pink pajama set.
Yeah, we're not letting you go.
Still on all my Ativan because I just got there, and they like pick me up in an Escalade and transfer me to the new one.
Nice.
And then I like show up at the new one in Malibu, and everyone's like, who's the new girl? And I'm like, roll out of the Escalade. I'm just like, I need a fucking cigarette. And like, someone gives me a cigarette. I'm just like sitting there, like in like admissions next to like a bocce ball court in a pool. And they're like just talking to me, like all like pilled out.
Damn.
It was nuts.
Wait, why'd you get kicked out?
Of that one?
Yeah.
That one was a fucking trip. So that one
don't
was.
Worry, we'll get back to the day to day of rehab, but first.
That one was. So I started like. My roommate at that one was hilarious. I just read a book about all this.
Boys and girls separated, right?
No, together. Oh, no. We were in the same house. There was three different houses. There was Koi House, because Koi House was near a Koi Pond. Then there was the pool house. I was in the pool house because it was next to the big pool. Then there was like this other house called like Hedge House, which was like a little pool surrounded by hedges. And so I was in like the big house, the pool house, which was like co-ed. So like my roommate was a girl, but there's boys still in the house.
Okay.
And there's just like a big pool and us. And I remember all the boys and stuff we'd order on Amazon dry ice and we'd throw it in the pool.
Let it bubble.
And like make it and like just blast smoke. Like techno.
It sounds fun.
Yeah, it was. And so
it sounds like sleepaway camp.
That's what I called. Whenever I'd go to rehab, I'd be like, gotta go to big girl sleepaway camp. But there's this guy and I like immediately was like obsessed with him. And I was like, I love this guy. And he had I thought he was so cool because, he had a T-Rex claw and a Picasso.
He had a what?
A T-Rex claw and a Picasso.
A Picasso part I understand. A Picasso painting.
And he also bought a T-Rex claw.
Like a fossil?
Yes.
It's a cool thing to have.
He didn't have it with him, but he had it. And he had told me one time he took a monkey home from the Playboy Mansion, and he was like walking the monkey down the streets in Santa Monica, and he's all fucked up. He's like, you don't understand how hard it is to do drugs when you have a fucking monkey in your house. They are destroying everything. He's like, the monkey was ripping pages out of like his books, and he said the monkey would go up to light bulbs and just go like this and shatter them, like throwing pots. He's like, never take a monkey home. They're annoying.
My advice is.
But I remember being like, I love this guy. He's perfect. And I had like the biggest crush on him. And he was like my rehab boyfriend. And so I guess this guy and someone else, their dealer, because we're all out of our cell phones at this rehab because it's like.
You are allowed?
Yeah, because it's an executive one. Because they think we are like, because like a lot of like kind of like celebrities and executives go to this one.
And they're so, like, yeah, I can't take off work. I'll go to rehab.
Yeah.
But I
and I was
shit.
Like, I have to prepare for my open mics. And we had our phones and this guy, one of the guys are. His dealer wouldn't stop calling him. His dealer was this guy named Baby Dog or something, who's also a rapper. And he was like, "You like since you haven't been like buying drugs, like my kids can't go to sleep. I can't pay for my kids' camp. Like you're ruining my life." Like the dealer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the dealer's like, then we're like, all right, let's just get drugs. So yeah, you get the dealer, and he throws a bunch of drugs over the hedge. At the rehab, and it's like ton of Xanax, ton of Coke, ton of whatever. And
oh, this is bad news.
And so then like everyone at the rehab is getting fucked up.
Oh my God.
And it's going on for days.
Wow.
And like
What?
It was wild. I remember we hooked up in like the shower. We'd just be like up there. People would be down there, and we'd just be like up at the big house, like on the patio, just like ripping lines.
Not worried at all about the wardens?
Not really.
What do you mean people hooking up in the shower?
Like me and this boy, we were like dating. He's like my rehab boyfriend.
You'd fuck in rehab?
I don't call it that. And then I remember, they have like check-ins, and I should call it like make problems for myself, but that's stupid. And they would have check-ins, so they'd like check if you were in your room and then whatever. So then obviously I'd sneak out because he lived in a different house. So I'd sneak out and then go to his room. And then people would go check in. I remember I'd fall like in the side of the bed. And then they'd be like, Chloe's missing again. But it was just like on this big property. But so he ended up getting in trouble and like getting kicked out. And this was one of my favorite memories of it. So we're all in like the downstairs main common room area. And this guy is getting in trouble. And he's like really fucked up. And they're like, you have to go. Like blah blah blah. He's like, Chloe, come sit next to me. And I was like, no. And he like gets up and he looks at me and he goes, beginning to lose interest, and then like passes back out. And I'm like, oh.
What a move.
So he gets transferred to a different rehab in Malibu. I'm on probation
for the drugs.
Yeah,
for taking drugs into a rehab. Yeah. I mean, if I'm not your friend and it's like I'm trying to clean up, like say I'm trying to clean up and I'm not part of your crew, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, there's hella drugs here? Oh, give me some.
I know.
I'm not going to fucking get clean like I wanted.
Yeah. And so like, he goes to his new one, and then I'm like devastated because like, oh, this is the love of my life. He's gone. Yeah. And so he gets kicked out, and then I'm on probation. I have like a strike or something. And then I got all my off campus privileges taken away. Yeah. So I'm not allowed to like go to outdoor meetings, the outside. So they have a meeting where they take everyone from Promises and they go to like an alumni meeting. I'm not allowed to go to it. So, but then I like make this whole scene like, if you don't let me go, like I need this for my recovery. Like I'm really, really serious now about getting better. Like, please, like I just really need to be there. And they're like, okay, you can come. You're going to have two sober companions watching you. You won't get your cell phone, but you can go. And I was like,
get your cell phone, but you can go. Okay.
So I'm like, fine. Okay. Thank you. Like, I just need this for myself. And so I go outside to smoke a cigarette. When I look, see no one's watching, I run. And they take us into like LA proper. And I just run from the people. And I have no phone, no wallet, anything. I go to Ralph's, and like they sell liquor there, you know?
Yeah.
Steal a bottle of vodka. Uh-huh. And then I like go to some skate park. I like drink the whole thing. I show up back at the meeting, and it's like 150 people. And I go into the meeting and I start yelling. And I'm like, fuck everyone here. You don't even know what it's like to be trying to get sober out of one day. And my boyfriend's gone. I make this like whole fucking scene. I'm out of my mind, shit face. They call an ambulance. They had to take me to.
Wow.
I go to the hospital at UCLA, and so I'm at the hospital, whatever. I have to
enjoy it.
So I'm there. The next morning I wake up, it's like 7 a.m. It's like a Thursday. I'm in my like hospital gown. I was like so chic at the time. I had like just makeup down my face and like a choker, and like I just had like a plastic bag of just like a pack of cigarettes. And I was like, and like a pair of like jorts and like a crop top. And I'm like, I'm fucking wearing this gown. It's so chic. And I was like, had like dirty Vans on, and I was like, I'm so LA and so cool. And when you leave the hospital, nobody at Promises is answering, and I have no money, no phone, nothing. And if you go across the street from the UCLA ER, there are the UCLA fraternity houses.
Yeah, okay.
It's like 7 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like, before I go there, I'm like, that'll be a final resort.
Great place to find.
Final resort. So I try to like go to I see a few restaurants, bars, nothing's open at 7 a.m. I'm trying to like break in through back doors because I'm like, I need a fucking drink. And I can't figure anything out. And so I just walk up to one of the frat houses. And since I went to school in Texas, I know, like, you say, like, for the SAEs, it's like their secret code is, like, you fly alpha or something. So I knock on the SAE house, and I'm like, fly alpha. And the guy opens the door, and he's like, okay, got to let her in.
How old are you?
I was, like, 27.
Oh, what a fucking treat for a fucking frat.
I was too old.
She's a cute chick going up to a frat house and, like, I know the secret code. You have to let me in.
And I'm also, like, wearing, like a hospital gown with jorts, and I'm, like, have makeup. And I was so hot at this point.
Wow.
That's probably my hottest. And and I'm, like, hi, because my voice is, like, sorry. And I go in, and I'm, like, And he lets me in. I was like, I need a drink. And it's like 7:30 in the morning. And he's like studying for like a test, like on Adderall. He's like, you want some Adderall? I was like, no, I just need something to drink. And he's like, we only have beers. We had a huge party last night. Like jungle party was last night. We used all the hard alcohol because there were like tons of hot girls. And he's like, I'm not saying you're not hot. Like I would totally like hook up with, I mean, I would totally give you a drink. Like I think you're hot, like totally, but like we just don't have any. And I was like, just give me a beer, okay? And he like gives me a beer and we're just like sitting there and I'm just like drinking beers with him on the couch. And he's like studying for his tests. And then he looks at me.
What a great life hack to know if you have the secret code to a frat, you could just go get drinks.
Yeah, and the guy's like, he's like, he says to me,
they're honor bound.
And I was like, this is pretty lame. You don't have hard alcohol here. And then he looks at me at one point. He was like, I won't judge you if you don't judge me. I was like, yeah, all good, dude. And so I got no way to, and so I have a few more, you know, I like to call them BL smoothies, yeah. A few more smoothies, Bud Lights. And then the kid, he calls me an Uber back to Malibu. So I take an Uber and I go back to Malibu. And then they send me to another rehab. They get me on a plane.
They're like, you're out.
Yeah, because they're like, you can't stay here.
Because you're fucking up everybody.
Yeah, it was like my second strike.
How many times?
It happens all the time.
Yeah, that they've had a drunk person in an AA meeting at a rehab. We're like, what?
Well, the best part was my roommate was this girl who's, you know, looking back on it, one of my favorite, funniest people, because she had one of those ankle bracelets, like a house arrest bracelet.
Nice. That's a real fuck up.
And we would like sit in the pool and like chain smoke, and she'd have her like brace up and on a raft and be just like chain smoking. She's like, tonight I think I'm gonna dress like Courtney Love. You vibing? And I'd be like, so in.
So LA.
And she was there because she was like doing heroin or something. And so she was like, yeah, you know, I was a child star and it totally fucked me up. I was like, what were you in? She's like, I had a speaking role in Santa Claus 3. Fucked
a child star.
Me up.
You're a child
speaking
actor.
Role, but a speaking role in Santa Claus 3.
That's
she's
hilarious.
Amazing. I love her. I don't know what
that's
she's
like. I'm
doing.
A porn star. Like, you've done 3 porns. You're not a star. You're not a porn star. But yeah, elevating
you
yourself.
You have Snapchat.
Yeah. It's like you did a Chuck E. Cheese fucking modeling shoot. You're not a supermodel.
So, yeah, that was a fun one. But I still, like, the other guy, like, we talk all the time.
Was there any lesbo shit happening if they, like, girl-girl roommates?
Not at this one. At a different place I went, like, all the girls just turned lesbians at this, like, sober house I was in Connecticut. I got kicked out.
Damn.
But yeah, that was promises. Was my is just the whole going to that frat house and again.
That sounds awesome.
I know. I was kind of.
I know it sounds. You're saying it's bad, but
I gotta say I'm a legend, huh?
Yeah.
I'm fucking killing
it. A 27-year-old.
It's a little too old.
Attractive
though.
Woman showing up at a frat house, which is really 18 to 24.
The guy so was like
well older. Yeah. He was like what? That's a movie thing.
And I'm just like I need a fucking drink.
And they're like, you came to the right place.
And the guy was like, okay. And he's like, where are you coming from? I'm like. Promises Malibu. And he was like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like,
damn.
I was like, can I smoke in here? And I'm like smoking, I'm like, don't do drugs, it'll fuck you up. And I was like, you guys follow me on Instagram. Like, I was just like so nuts.
Jesus Christ.
I was out of my fucking mind at that point. So yeah. And then after that whole thing, I was really like really unwell. I had to go to this other rehab in Connecticut. And I remember it had a helipad at it, like the sober house.
Rich one.
And I took, I got this like girl who was a heroin addict to take all these nudes of me on the helipad, where I'm just like standing with my back and I have like a little scarf on and like sneakers. I'm like sending it to like that guy because he like left the other rehab and he was obviously just like chilling in LA. And he was like, Chloe, I'll get you a plane. He's like, get a plane ticket, come to Chateau Marmont. I got 3 Playboy bunnies. I got a ton of GHB. We're going to do whatever you want. So I was like, done. So I run away from that rehab in like rural Connecticut.
Yeah.
I just get a backpack of some stuff and I run away from there. And I'm like trying to get to the airport and there's like some sort of tropical storm. So all the flights are delayed. I can't get on a plane to LA. So I just checked into a hotel.
And did what?
And I just got like so out of my mind, blacked out. And then I ended up like getting into such a dark place that I called the rehab and I was like, I need help. Like I need someone to come get me. Like I'm not okay.
Oh.
And so,
what made you think that?
What do you mean?
I mean like, yeah, but it could have been a week before.
I mean, it was just like I went there and then I drank for like 3 days. I drank for like, you know, 2 days. I missed every flight and I was at this hotel alone. just drinking, and I was just like, I actually just need help. And so I called back the rehab. I was like, because they didn't know where I was because I ran away. Yeah. The one in Connecticut. And they're like, okay, someone's coming to get you. And I was so out of my mind. Like, I'd so fucked up that that was when I had to go to a, I had to go to a psych ward. And I had to go there. And then from there, I had to go to the hospital rehab. And that was just like not nice. It was like all homeless people and me.
Damn.
So that was that one. But I got a lot of, yeah. So that was a journey. It's a lot of information.
So like the before you call, before you make that call, saying I need help.
See, like there's some funny parts, but it's all quite sad.
I mean, well, that's your job, is to make funny out of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Miss Pat has this fucking great bit about getting raped by her uncle.
Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah.
But she doesn't wallow in any of the
She was like, he's a good uncle. You know, that's uncles, that's their thing.
She said his dick smelled like fried chicken or something.
Oh, my God.
It's just funny, and you barely even recognize that she got raped. It was just like she passes over that part. She's great. But like, but I'm saying like when you woke up in the morning, before you call, like what's your day like up until that point? Like, why is it that day?
So it's like basically like I could only handle like I couldn't handle more of like just the drinking for I was just so sad. And then the guy stopped answering because he was just on a bender, and I was just like, what am I doing? And I was just like, I think my credit card got shut off because I had run away, and I was just like, I'm fucked. And so I was just like, I don't know what to do. And at this point, like, I knew I needed help. Like, I put myself into rehab for the first time, and then I got through a phase where every time something bad would happen or I'd feel bad, I would run away and go to rehab because it was like the only place I felt safe. So I would get like homesick for rehab. I was like, okay, these people love me. These people take care of me. I'll go here.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. And then I was just like, at that point, I was just like so strung out. I was so tired because I'd been on this like long, crazy thing that I was just like, I can't do it anymore.
Damn.
But then when I was at the hospital rehab, someone brought GHB in. The roofie drug.
Yeah.
People don't stop.
Damn. Did you ever see The Wire?
Kinda.
So there's a prequel to The Wire.
What is it?
The Corner.
Okay.
It's a 6 or 8 part HBO series.
Okay.
Done and done. A couple of the actors were other parts in The Corner. But then when they do The Wire, like, we'll hire you again as an actor, but you'll be a teacher now instead of a drug, whatever. But this part, Bubbles, whatever his name is, he ODs.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't die, but wakes him in the hospital. Heroin, I think. And all his hair, and the doctors are like, that's it. I mean, your heart can't take any more of this.
Yeah.
Like, you really should. Borderline died. So like, we got you back, but like, you'll die. I mean, there's no question. It's not like in the future, or like, if you don't quit smoking, you're gonna get cancer. They're like, you will die.
Yeah,
it was one of those. And then his you know, heroin friends show up, and they're like, start unrolling some heroin. And then one of his friends, like, who's trying to quit, is like, what are you doing? The doctor just said, like, your heart will just stop.
Yeah.
And he's just like, dude, I'm on the ride.
I don't care. Yeah,
it's I'm not able to stop.
Yeah.
It seems so real.
It is.
Was it like that? Where you're just like, I want to stop, but I can't?
Yeah, when you're in it, you're in it. You don't think there's any other way. It's like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Damn.
It sucks. It's such a shitty, it's like you feel like such a prisoner.
Damn.
But, yeah. Then I had some more seizures, and then eventually the doctors were like, I did all these tests, and they're like, you're epileptic.
That's why you had the seizures.
Yeah, well, it was definitely like, and all those drugs and stuff like trigger it and make it worse. But like, it turns out like I had epilepsy this whole time, and I was just didn't have it diagnosed. So, yeah.
Was fentanyl at all a thing then?
No, actually, in college, people were like doing fentanyl patches.
Straight fentanyl.
Yeah.
What is it? Slow time release?
I don't know. You do like a lot. Yeah, I guess because there'd be like a lollipop. People would steal from people on cancer, or like patches.
What do you mean a lollipop?
There's like fentanyl lollipops.
So you slowly suck it?
Yeah.
What is it? It's a downer, right?
It's like the strongest painkiller. It's like stronger than morphine and stuff.
Well, here's what I don't get. When they're putting it in Coke.
They put it, yeah.
It's like, it does has the opposite effect of Coke.
I guess they're cutting it with that, and like it's like a speedball. So when you do a speedball, it can stop your heart because it's an upper and a downer. or I don't really know.
The Four Loko of drugs. So, yeah, but what's the benefit of cutting it with that? Like,
it's cheaper, maybe.
But it's like, okay, if it gave you the same sort of feeling as coke, like if it was like an upper, but like you only need a small amount, then I get it's cheaper. Just put, you know, one part fentanyl and then two parts coke, and then we're like, all right, we're good. And then seven parts everything
else.
Hey,
aren't dealers allowed to have a bad day?
Sure, sure, sure. I'm just like wondering, like, why they would put it in there. Like, they're not going to get any repeat business that way. You'll try some coke, and you're like, oh, this is putting me down. Like,
no,
oh.
you wouldn't notice it.
You would not notice
it. No, because coke is cut with all weird things. Yeah. The amount of hands your cocaine goes through before you get it, because you have to realize it comes from somewhere like Colombia, Mexico, and the amount of hands it goes through, and every time it goes through a different set of hands, they cut it down even more.
Wow.
So.
Damn. Remember in the beginning of the pandemic, and you would go get hand sanitizer, and it would be opened already? And you're like, you're watering this down? Like... They're like,
so
yeah,
funny.
It's hard to come by, and we're charging $14 per bottle.
That was crazy that we lived in that.
They fucking sucked during that.
And they made
like,
bank.
Deal's a deal. They made so much bank. And they're like, what are you doing?
They're like, we're not making any money. Somebody get a bat. Yeah. Let's eat it. Let's bite that off a bat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
we need to start business up again. Make some soup.
That's right. And you would say like, dude, the label says $2.99. You're selling this $14. And they go, then don't buy it. I'll sell it.
It's like Tulip
Dome. Within an hour, I'll sell it.
Tulip like, Dome, you know?
What's Tulip Dome?
Oh, my God. It was the Tulip Mania in, like, the 1600s in Deutschland. It was, like, all this, everyone was getting obsessed with tulip bulbs and buying tulips because all the royals wanted them. And so the market, it was, like, the first bubble.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I learned that on Coke. A lot of history.
That's a good Coke moment. That's, like,
I learned a lot.
And so then... the price of tulips.
So everything goes up and then it bursts.
And
it
bursts. People are like, oh, actually, I don't want COVID.
And
like, but I have
and
all
then
this,
everyone's
I have
like,
all these
ah,
extra,
I'll just get COVID.
Yeah, I've been growing. Yeah, exactly. At some point, you're like,
I can't leave my house anyway.
It's like, can I afford this much money? I'm in. Hopefully, they were cutting it with straight alcohol instead of just with like water. It was life saving at that
They're
time.
They're cutting it
and
with
you're
fentanyl.
Like, I need this. Yeah. Fentanyl and the whatever. Did the wardens
Ooh, this
do
hand sanitizer is making me sleepy. My hands are asleep. You're just like, you sanitize your hands and you're walking around and you're like trying to drink something.
Okay, what is this? It's like, oh, you got that fentanyl sanitizer.
Oh, we got that fetty hands.
Oh, let me have some of that.
Oh, I was like, what do I have?
Do the wardens ever abuse anybody?
Wardens.
Or what were they called?
Oh, I don't know, staff.
Gamekeepers?
Staff.
Staff. Did the staff ever do any abuse?
Like hitting you?
Sure.
I don't know. I think people probably hook up with them.
Yeah. There's they had a security guard in Melbourne or Sydney. I forget. I think Melbourne. And so they were doing COVID lock-ins. When you land, you go straight to a COVID hotel.
Oh my God.
On your dime. And you have to stay there for 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah. In your
Did
room.
Did you do that?
What?
Did you do that?
No, I wasn't going to Australia. They were also limiting who could even go to Australia. So you had to like...
True.
Yeah, it had to be repatriated or you needed to like have some weird business thing you have to go there for, you know? Fiance, something like that. It's cold out here now. But anyway, they were sticking you in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Like, we'll bring you room service. All this you're paying for. So you're paying a few $1,000 to stay there for a couple weeks. And it's just in your room. It's not
down
like...
Down under. It's butt before vagina territory.
And they had a security guard and he fucked one of the people.
Oh my God.
Consensually, and then went back to his wife, got COVID from that, went back to his wife, spread it, then it started spreading through the town. And then they had another big fucking lockdown because of security guard. They had it like under control and the security guard like opened it up again. Like 28 days later, too, whatever it was, 28 weeks later.
28 days.
Yeah. So did they do anything? Yeah, there was hookups, I'm sure.
I guess some people probably liked the staff.
Probably what?
Liked the Some people okay. probably liked the staff.
Just not under your chin. In front is fine. Anywhere in front is fine.
Yeah. Whenever I do a podcast, people are always like, don't you do stand-up? How do you not know how to hold a mic?
It's because you can hear yourself through the monitors. If it's dropping, like, that's not loud enough. And then it back to his. Interesting. And so now you're sober again. But you've struggled with it since then.
Yeah, the pandemic was hard.
You relapsed?
Yeah, it was a good excuse because, like, I had no responsibilities.
Yeah, right.
Some people are like, I'm going to use this to better myself. I'm like, I'm going to lean the fuck in. My therapist was like, I'm worried about a lot of my patients, but you, you've been preparing this for years.
Yeah.
She was like, I was like, because I talk about it, I'm like, wow, everybody's an alcoholic. Everybody's depressed. I'm like, welcome to the party. I've been at the same one for like ever. You know what I mean?
He's like, I can guide you through this.
I'm like, I'm going to just get a beer, start drinking again.
You and the germaphobes were like, oh, you need my information now. They're both like, I'll show you how to wash your hands. And you're like, I'll show you how to blasted on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So, like, are you triggered now being around, like, clubs?
No, because if I try to do like stand up or something when I'm drinking, I'll just do terrible. So if anything, like, that's not a place I would want to drink.
Yeah, but like whenever I've relapsed on any cigarettes, let's say, I know in my heart, hey, this is bad. I'm gonna wake up.
Can't believe I got you to relapse on this episode.
Yeah, exactly. And then halfway through it, I was like, "What a fucking idiot! What am I doing?"
Oh, you were like a smoker and you quit?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I won't, but I will. It will force me to have a cigar later. By tomorrow, the nicotine will already do its job.
Wow, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It wasn't you at all. But, like, you know in your heart, in your head, like, this is a bad idea. But in your heart, you see everybody drinking, you see everybody smoking. Like, I just want one. And you just don't think about it for a second.
Well, what's interesting is, like, when you are drinking, you think all these people are drinking a lot more than they are. And then when you get sober, you realize, like, wow, nobody's really drinking. Like, I'll go to a show and stuff. Like, I was at Frantic on Monday, and I didn't see anyone drinking.
Why? Because also, you do notice the people that are drinking, but it's not all of them.
No, it's like, it's one person, and it's kind of, like, embarrassing.
Right, and it's each... Exactly.
And like when I'm like very lucky that when I do stop drinking and I do get like sober, everything comes together pretty quick for me.
What do you mean?
Like my life just gets better quickly.
So you see it. I was trying to get Joe List to do psychedelics because, you know, there's like that. I mean, I don't know what AA
says.
It's
not very nice of you.
Right. Well, but you know, a lot of alcoholics are like smoke weed and do mushrooms.
Yeah.
Soder.
And he's like, no.
Soder does Molly and
oh God.
Not a lot, but
Molly
he will.
Sober sounds
mushrooms
terrible.
And weed. It's just like a fucking fun night. But whatever, but he can't handle alcohol.
Yeah.
So he's just like, there's a lot of people like that, right?
I know.
That just do so I was like, Joe, it'd be nice if you could do shrooms with us. You know? It's like we don't even drink while we're doing it. Like I get that you're not, but like I don't know how sober you are, but like we're all doing it. We'd like to include you.
Yeah.
And he was like, I get it. I'd like to, but it's just like the possible negatives of me like completely going back into this terrible place is just not worth the fun night with my friends.
No, he's so great. Like I talked to him sometimes. I remember.
About sobriety?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's just always so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think he like enjoys being a help to people that are struggling with
mm-hmm.
it.
Makes you feel good.
To help somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Are you a sponsor to anybody? No. Do you have a sponsor? You're a program person?
Yeah, I do a 12-step thing.
You do a 12-step thing, right? You're not even allowed to say. It's interesting. I just did a podcast with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're not allowed, they don't have birthdays, but like.
What?
They're not allowed to celebrate birthdays. That's like part of their religion. But then they do these loopholes like that. Mm. They go, I'm just glad you were born on this day 22 years ago. I'm just really happy in this day.
This isn't a gift. I found it.
This is unrelated. It's just a day present. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's really interesting. Do you think you're going to relapse again?
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not too. But how do you stay clear
of it? I
feel
like we need a good cop because you're just the bad cop.
Well, I mean, I just like,
just kidding.
You know.
No, stay away. You just have to like, you gotta like stay close to like your last drink in a way mentally. Like you have to remember.
Remember, God, that fucking sucked. There's this Jill Soboli song about she had one song on the Clueless soundtrack, and then I got her album because I was just stealing albums at the time. But song about this ex-boyfriend's smile and how much she missed it, and then like calling him to get back together. And then realize, oh, that's right, you were a terrible person. Like, you forget that part, so you got to hold on to that so you don't
fuck up
relationship-wise. And I assume it's the same
thing. I should
listen
to that song.
I'll send it to you.
Thanks.
Yeah, and it's just like that. So, yeah, I guess that's a good way. Hold on to your last drink.
You have to remember it, and, like, you just have to remember, like, the negatives. It's like weighing it out. It's like it's the same thing with, like, a relationship. Like, it's toxic. Don't go back to it.
Right.
Like the thing with for me drinking and like also I'm epileptic and basically I go to the epilepsy center at NYU and they're just like they'll say to me because my seizures have started to get worse and
Have
them like when I'm sober and they're just like you can't they're like you're like you will they're like if you wanted to drink like you could drink two drinks a week and I'm like I'm not a psycho I'm not gonna drink two drinks a week like some sort of psychopath
who fucking does that
I'm not a nerd
and beer.
So
they're nerd, yeah.
And so they're just like, you have, like, you're gonna like die. You need to be sober. Like, you don't have a choice. Well, you, everyone has a choice, but
damn.
So basically, yeah, and then I'm on like a bunch of meds and stuff.
Do you feel like
for my seizures? So, and they don't work if I'm drinking or
oh,
or I'll forget to take them. And so that's what it is.
Do you feel, what time? Oh, do you feel like at all on, like, so I know people that have quit comedy. And I've always wanted to ask them, but I feel bad for them. And then they'll be around it still. You know, they'll talk and they'll be around it. They'll mention their days of comedy. They always mention, like, when I was a comedian, this. And it's almost offensive because, like, you are an open micer. And you're telling, like, 7, 8 to 10 year plus comedians anything. It's like, that's just straight mansplaining. And yeah, I've seen it from women, too. Like, shut the fuck up. Who the fuck are you? You did, like, 40 open mics.
Mm-hmm.
I had a manager that always do that. And it's like, shut up. We're mocking you behind your back telling us this. But, like, the people who quit, the people who actually did it for a while, I just feel bad for them. And I feel like they can feel that from us.
Yeah.
To be like, we pity you. Is there any, and I'm not trying to say you're bad at all, but do you have any feeling of, like, this is the wrong wording, but like, I'm a loser because I couldn't handle it?
No, I don't have a feeling like that. But like, you know, sometimes I'm not proud of like behaviors from when I drank, but what I know I'm a good person. And I know like what I say is, you know, I'm not a bad person, but sometimes I do bad things. You know what I mean? And I think that drinking makes me not the person I want to be. So I like myself much more when I'm sober. And so once I've stayed sober for, you know, an extended period of time, it hasn't been, you know, necessarily too long, you get to a place where you're like, you start to feel your potential and you feel good and you just are, you feel your potential. So then once you start drinking again, you feel it go away.
Oh, interesting.
And you're just like, why? You're like, it's so much cooler when you can feel a potential, and then when you, and then it's like you're taking it away from yourself. It's like you're in charge. So,
damn.
I don't feel like a loser. I feel like a loser when I'm drinking, and every time I relapse, I feel like a fucking loser.
You do it, and you wake up like, "What the fuck was
that?"
I was like,
"Why did I do that? What a waste!"
And why do you do it? It's just like a moment of weakness.
Just a moment of weakness, and I'll be lazy. I'll go through a breakup. I'll think it's a good excuse to drink.
Yeah.
It's a lack of maturity.
We had a friend when we started. Jim Painter's big influence on all of us, and he was sober. I think he was like a child burnout, you know. And he would go on dates with girls, and he would go to bars. He was fine. You know, he'd be around us drinking and smoking. Just wouldn't touch it. And he would be on dates and then be like, "You having a drink?" He's like, "No, I don't drink." Or, "No, thanks, I'm not drinking today." And then one day he just didn't feel like telling a girl that he didn't drink.
He
was like, "All right." And he was like, then there was that like week of like, maybe I can handle this. And within like 4 days, he was just like,
"Yeah, that's
like
what
problematically
happens.
Drinking.
I remember I drank in front of this guy. I got a beer. And I drank one beer, and it was like the hardest thing I've ever done.
Stop right there.
Just have one beer because he's sober. And I said to him, I said, after I drank the beer, I was like, could an alcoholic do that?
to have only one drink?
Yeah.
And you're like, all proud.
Okay, he's like, okay, psycho.
Not even thinking in those terms. Okay. Rogan once early on his podcast, like first 10 podcasts, I showed up to his house and he would call me a pothead. He was like, fucking pothead. And not in a bad, but just like, I used it too much. And I was like, I haven't gotten high all day. Like, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, you're not supposed to, that's not a bragging moment that you didn't get high in the day that you're in right now. Like, that that's your line of like, you think you're better than, you're a pothead.
I always joke. People are like, how's your sobriety? I'm like, it's amazing. I haven't had a drink since breakfast. It's a good day.
Damn, man. That's really interesting about that shit. So what was your favorite one?
Favorite rehab?
Yeah.
I mean, looking back on it, I have to say it was probably my first one because it was the only one I learned anything at.
And what about your last one? How did that make it stick?
Nothing. I didn't go to rehab. I haven't been to rehab in years.
Well, you called them and said, like, I need help.
Oh, that one. And then that one. What did I do after that one? Well, that one I left. And after that, I don't even remember. I went to so many.
Who else was at these rehabs? Was it like
that one, I went to, like this hospital thing, and then after that, I had to go to get back. That was like a sober living house. Get back into that, it's called like Eden Hill for Girls. It was like this like house. It was like the guy who used to own like the lotto or something. It was their house, and then they sold it and became a rehab or a sober house. And that place was chill because it was like in the countryside. It's in the same town I went to boarding school, actually. And they would like wanted to take riding lessons and stuff. And they're like, yeah, you can fucking do that. And to get back into that one, I had to go to this other rehab. I got kicked out of there because I refused to eat.
Did you just crash?
What?
You just crash?
No. Do I seem like I did?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm like a baby. I like get like really hyper and then I fall asleep.
Yeah. I was like, what just happened?
Did I alarm you?
It was just like a sudden drop of energy.
Yeah. No.
Who else was there at these rehabs? Like, I assume rich people.
Just drug addicts.
Yeah, I know.
Was that hyper enough?
But like, was it older, younger?
All ages.
You saw withered people and you saw like young.
Yeah, my favorite guy was this guy at the first one in Connecticut. Warren, I think was his name. He had like sold a bunch of tech companies or something. And so like in the group, they would like, everyone would like share a story. And then everyone would say like, after their story, you'd be like, the counselor would be like, who's here for Warren? And everyone would raise their hand and be like, I am. And I remember one time Warren was like, he had been to that treatment center like 4 times. And he was like, he's crying. He's like, it got really bad this time. He's like, so like, I always start off with like one cat. And then as my drinking gets bad, I wake up and there's like 8 cats. And he goes, and then I had this one cat, Ferguson, and Ferguson was getting so fat. So I took Ferguson to the and I threw up on Ferguson one day, and I threw it. So Ferguson had gotten really fat, and so he took Ferguson to the vet. And he's like, "Why is Ferguson so fat?" And the vet was like, "Cause this cat is a woman, and this cat is pregnant."
Oh my god!
And he was like, he had no idea because he was so fucked up. And so he brought the cat home, and then he said one day he was so fucked up that he threw up on the cat. And he started crying, and he goes, I knew it was bottom. I'm going to throw up on my pregnant cat.
That's a great bottom.
He's like, I knew it was time to get back to Mountainside. And then they go, who's here for Warren? And we're all like, we are.
Warren! I love the people who kill it at stories. I did Al-Anon for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, family and friends of.
Of course.
And then, but man. The difference in the good sharers versus the boring sharers.
Oh yeah, I like.
Oh, those boring sharers are like, minimize this.
I kill sometimes.
I bet.
I kill.
You're a trained performer.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Oh, the good sharers and the bad sharers.
Yeah. So I've like gone to a meeting and I've like done something. I'm like, oh, that killed. And then I gone to a show and I tried it and it bombs. I'm like, okay. You know, I've said on stage like, well, that worked. Not your work here.
No, you fucking did it again.
Oh, sorry.
Now I gotta put another marker down.
Sorry.
135. Oh, okay.
I just want you to work.
Yeah, well, I'm doing it.
I remember.
Sorry,
one
what
time,
were you saying? I was writing down notes and I didn't fucking miss what you said.
I would say like something in a meeting and it would kill, and then I'd go on stage and say the same thing and it'd bomb. And I'd be like, that killed in the meeting.
Dude, one of the best sets I saw, there was this.
I want another cigarette.
Go for it. There was this. This is just a test anyway, so we don't need it.
We have to do a whole other episode? This is a test episode?
No, this. I'm testing these Rode wireless.
Oh, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. There was this.
The smoke is blowing at you.
Well, I'm not in the program. So am I allowed to say I went to an AA show?
You do whatever you want.
I mean, I don't want to ruin anybody's fucking thing. But
don't say who is on it.
Okay. It was a great show. It was run by this guy who was a writer and a comedian.
All his jokes are about the trans community.
and
got that.
It was great. They were so down because, like, you can't say anything to offend, like, a heavy user.
No, it's because it's the same way, like, when you're around comics, you can't really offend.
I know, so you go so dark when you're trying to, like, make comics laugh.
When you're just, like, sitting with comics, like, you can't offend anyone.
You can't offend them. It's too hard to offend him. You offend him by like focusing on you when you make a bad joke. So it's like if I'm making a bad joke and I'm like waiting for your response, that's the, it's like, dude, or you're offending like, me. Like, I don't want to laugh, but you put him in the spot.
Why are you doing a bit?
Yeah, why are you doing a bit right here? That's it's offensively bad. Like,
yeah.
Humor. Yeah, that's the only way to offend a comic.
Well, it's interesting because like when you have conversations with people who aren't comics, like, you kind of forget the boundaries. Because in comedy, you before you even know someone, you know them. Because like, I'll see someone stand up and I'll be like, oh, I know this person was molested. I know this person was an alcoholic. I know this about this before you even meet them. So it's like your relationship is already so intimate. So there's no boundaries. You can be like, oh, that's hilarious when your uncle raped you. Yeah. You know, like we were saying earlier. And so like then you meet someone who's not like that. Yeah. And you're like, hey, your uncle ever raped you?
They talk about these masks people wear and that you're different people for different people. So like the way you talk to me or Karen Fian or probably those are two different things probably. And then the way you talk to your mom is another different thing.
Yeah.
And what's so hard about social media is that you have all these different groups watching you. So,
yeah.
But normally you wear these different masks and you act differently in front of it. But now it's almost like you need to be one thing for all people. So it doesn't allow for the outsider shit.
Yeah.
Because then people are like, oh, that's horrible. It's like, oh yeah. Yeah. You weren't supposed to hear this.
But isn't that why like, once you build your own audience,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
The problem is now is people are taking what you say and then taking it to other audiences. I feel like, look at that. People are like, how dare you? It's like, guys, we're doing something fun over here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Yeah. And so that's why you should have to be all things to all people. And they asked Zuckerberg about it. He goes, no, that's not a problem. There should only be one you to everyone. Mm-hmm. I want only one social you in life and social media, all of it. And you realize like, oh, we let a fucking highly autistic person build the way we're acting to each other.
Totally. And I heard like there I was talking to people about like, you know, celebrities having meltdowns and they're saying how I was very much defending the celebrities. I was like, people fuck up and they're like, you know, it's their job to like their one thing is like to not fuck up in the public eye type of thing. And I'm like, yeah, but like,
but that's unrealistic.
It's not realistic. Like,
yeah,
people
like,
snap.
I can't ever be right. So you're like, your girlfriend's yelling at you. Like, fuck you. And like, God damn it. There's 8 cameras on me. And you're like, supposed to have those moments. You're supposed to be able to pass out drunk on the street and wake up like, fuck, I bottomed out without somebody saying, oh, that's Chloe doing that. Maybe they'll take a picture of like, look at this pass out drunk, which don't do, you know, in their worst
don't
moments.
Don't do it.
But it's worse when they know it's you.
Yeah.
Specifically. And I'm like, come on, you guys, everyone fucks up a little. Mm-hmm. You gotta let people learn from it.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. But
well, because that's the thing. I think when you are in an actor or public figure, I was saying this to my friend, like, the media just dictates who you are. Like, they decide who you're going to be.
Yeah, this is the type of person. They're a rebel. They're a this.
They're dark,
that. Uh-huh.
Which is the same way when I was younger, when I, like, people were like, oh, she's a cokehead. Then I was like, I guess I'm the fuck up. So this is the role I'll play.
Right. And then you have to be at that. So even if you're a fuck up, the reality is you were. But the reality is you're only a fuck up in some moments.
Yeah, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, you didn't get out of bed as a fuck up. You didn't put your shoes on as a fuck up.
No.
You put your shoes on as a regular person. And then like you had more fuck up moments than some of your other high school friends who weren't known as a fuck up, but they had some.
Or like they didn't get caught.
Or they didn't get caught. Right. Drunk drivers is like, it's like, yeah, we've all driven drunk, but like, you got into an accident and
hit
a kid. Yeah,
like Mel Gibson, that wasn't, you know.
Exactly. You got caught.
And you got like, caught now blaming the Jews for every war. Some people do that behind closed doors.
Yeah, you got caught on a fucking on a cop cam doing it. That's unfortunate. Doesn't mean the Jews didn't start those wars.
Holocaust never happened.
It was exaggerated. I heard it was a few hundred people.
It's like my sex life exaggerated. Sorry, just kidding.
Damn, Chloe, this is all real interesting shit. I knew you were like a kind of a wild, I don't want to say fuck up because it's a negative now, but like you used to get down. Mm-hmm. You had your moments in the fucking.
I'm like an ogre. I'm an onion. I have layers.
Yeah.
Shrek.
Because you're like, you're manic for sure.
Really?
Manic. You have a manic.
Presence.
Vibe. I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Ugh. Well, I'm working on that. That's because I've been so in and out of being sober.
ADD-ish. Maybe call
yeah,
it that.
For sure.
It's like, not manic. But it's still like hyper.
I'm still figuring out who I am.
Yeah.
That's what it is, too.
And there's that, too. When you hear like Soder and Nate talking about those days, and now Nate's a sober family guy.
Yeah.
Who loves golf.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, is that the same person? You're like, sort of, but like you can shift and become different people. And then
Like I don't know. I want it'll level out if the longer I like stay like on a path, because like right now I'm still like figuring out like who I am, what I want to talk about, what I mean, like who's the right type of person for me to date, what's right for me, because I'm so used to just living in all the chaos, because that's what I felt the most comfortable in.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to feel more comfortable not in chaos.
Right, right. And it didn't make you comfortable before. And
yeah,
now
that's what I liked. That's what I sought. I sought chaos. And now I'm starting to see the other side of the coin and be like, I prefer this. And that will transfer over into, you know, even like conversation. And
well, you see people like, during COVID or anytime they leave New York, and they want to go to a small town life. It's like, but I thought you loved like the party scene and like doing whatever. And it's like, yeah. And then one day I just didn't. And I stayed in New York for 4 extra years. And then it's like, they're like, I just want the suburbs to stay with my family. And mm-hmm. you're like, and then you're Bobby Kelly goes from Hell's Kitchen up to fucking Westchester.
Yeah, I'm just like, I want a family.
Yeah. And I'm like, that seems awful to me. But I'm sure one day I'll be like, yeah, that's what I want. You see these old people in Manhattan and you're like, you've stayed too long. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be here anymore.
Like, don't you just want to get, because like, you know,
with a walker, with a cane, like why are you in Manhattan?
You know, when you're in the city for like an extended period of time and you're starting to go crazy and you don't know why. And then you just get out of the city and you're like, huh, you're like, this is why. You're like, I need to make sure I leave
every once in a while.
Just for my
once
own sanity.
Month, you gotta get to the woods.
Get to the woods, man.
Yeah. Get thee to nature. Is that a term?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have anything to promote? What are you doing? Like besides stand up?
I have a new show.
Okay. I'll talk about this in the intro, but go ahead.
I have a new show on my Instagram. It's called News for Women.
News for Women.
Yeah. I put it on YouTube, but whatever. And I break down the news like so women can get it.
What do you mean? Oh, to make it accessible to them.
I just joke.
Through a women's.
Through my perspective. Like I'll say things like, oh, do you know who needs a pedicure? Syria.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your Instagram?
It's at Chloe LaBranche.
C-H-L-O-E-L-A-L-A. Capital B-R-A-N-C-H-E?
Yeah, correct. My social? No.
Is the B capitalized?
Yeah.
The L and the B are capitalized?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. You have three capitals. Do you have a middle name?
Spar. S-P-A-H-R.
Four caps. That's great.
Thank you.
You're like J.R.R. Tolkien.
Hell yeah.
That's cool. And you got some traction out of it? People like it?
Yeah. I mean, I've been really like not consistent with it because... because I just was in and out of drinking stuff, but like when I started putting on TikTok in like a week, I got like 12,000 followers just from doing.
I like just from the way you're describing it. I like dealing with the news in a non like the way comedians have been dealing with it, mm-hmm. which is super serious. It's like guys, just make jokes about it.
I just like sit in my room and I put on like a dress and like I just have like this News for Women thing, and I'm just like, hi, welcome to News for Women. I'm Chloe. I'm an alcoholic, and then I'll just be like. Say something just like a news article that's just like, and I'll just like, basically it's like, I'll take like, the New York Post is just the best headlines ever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like
the back page too.
It's like my version of the New York Post.
They have like, they always have catchphrases as their headlines.
It's like a hybrid
rhymes.
Of the New York Post and Backpage.
Yeah. It's great.
So
they always, sometimes they have like four words in a row that starts with D, like dumb Democrat deals with distress or something like that. And you're like, who was writing? These are great. We need more comedy like that where it's like, don't fucking wallow in the fucking news. Have fun with it. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
It wasn't manic. That was the wrong word to use.
Is it
hyper?
Yeah. No, I've like gone to like, you know, all these doctors and stuff, and I'm actually like, I don't have any. And not bipolar or anything. I've just been diagnosed as like anxiety disorder and like depression. And it's hard to even, because I'm so like, I've been so up and down just because I've been so in and out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right now I'm chilling. I feel good.
Well, Chloe, I hope you last in your sobriety for real.
Thank you, Ari.
Yeah. I never even drank with you, so I don't even miss that part of that side, you know? So, like, I hope you get there. It sounds like you have a lot of potential if you just fucking stay on the path, but I hope
Thanks,
you get
dude.
There.
Thanks, dude. Journey.
Yeah, I know it's hard. Journey. All right. Hell yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That's it. Good job.
Thanks.
Is there anything else? Anything massively missed about fucking rehab?
I mean, there's just...
I mean, I know you probably talked for days about it.
Days of diaries.
Do you keep diaries?
Every single day of every
book about it.
Every single rehab, every single day.
Really?
I have a diary from every. It's like some of the diaries are like you can't even read it because I'm like, I am on so much pills right now from detox and it's just scribbles.
Wow.
It's pretty funny.
Dude, I'll take notes in these little Moleskines. This is my favorite weapon for comedy. And I'll take them with me because they fit in your pocket, right?
I have little mini books like that too.
Right. And then you can't, people take notes on your phone, but then everybody thinks you're ignoring them. If you do this, people are like, okay, they're writing a note down. But
yours is just a hit list.
Yeah. So people annoying you. Like when I'm on mushrooms versus not, I'll show you a different. What do we got here? Okay, here, just a bit list, so you can kind of read that.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm gonna use all those.
Yeah, whatever. But like the handwriting's great. Now this is just mushroom writing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like sloppier.
Yeah, you're just like. Sometimes I can't even read it.
I used to like try to like write when I was drunk sometimes, and every time I'd look back, I'd be like, "It's all poop jokes."
I'd be like, shit, you would laugh at when you're
all poop drunk. Jokes. It's all about Sarah McLachlan abusing her dogs and poop jokes. That's all I write about when I'm drinking.
All right, hell yeah, Chloe. Thank you.
Cool.
Appreciate you doing this.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Fucking good episode, huh? God damn, Chloe. If you're listening to this and you just want little short clips, I will be putting clips on YouTube. YouTube.com/Ari Shaffir. Just tons of them. She's got so full of fun stories. And it wasn't like she was bragging or anything. What a fucking wild, crazy world. I mean, it sounds awesome. It sounds awesome. I like music festivals. Rehab, I mean, seems like... one of the best music festivals, minus the music, I guess, anywhere. I do love the names of all those clubs in the aughts. Here were the names she used. By the way, don't forget, go follow her online, at Chloe LeBranch. Kane, Marquee, Bungalow, Butter. The nightclub names are so fucking stupid. Shush Nightclub. Only at the MGM. Vegas is full of them. I mean, it's just the place. This is what all... I got to read that book about the aughts LCD sound system and the fucking yeah and all that. Meet me in the bathroom. I got to read that book. Who wrote that? You want to be on my podcast? It'll force me to read the fucking book. It just seems fucking awesome. And if 16-year-olds can get in there and just party, it seemed like Studio 54 and some places else I've been across the world. It just seems like a fucking great place. God, fentanyl's ruining everything. Drug dealers, do your part. We want to keep partying. Help us out. Test your fucking fentanyl. Make it fucking free of... Oh, test your coke. I get it. Cut it for sure. It's not like I'm against profit margins. I get the idea of profit margins, but cut it with talcum powder. Nobody fucking went to the hospital for snorting too much talcum powder. Claims are fucking no basis in reality or science. Has anyone gone to the hospital for snorting too much talcum powder? Then how about baby powder? Whatever it is, or laxatives. Cut it with baby laxatives, make everybody shit. That's a fun prank. Fentanyl's, it's just like, it's funny, but not to enough people. Anyway, that's the episode, everybody. Don't forget to get tickets to my Wilbur show, December 9th at arishafir.com. Also, two shows in November, Orlando and Tampa. Steve Simone will be opening for me for both of those. We are moving the podcast to Tuesdays starting in November so that Marissa can have a weekend, spend time fucking her girlfriend. She wants to fucking munch box, and her girlfriend's off on Saturday and Sunday, and she goes, it's the best time to munch box, you know, to get in there, fucking deep tongue it, you know? She goes, and I'm working all the time. I can still get the work done, but it's just hard to concentrate while a fucking pussy's fucking licking my clit, you know? And I'm like, that's fair. So we're moving to Tuesdays, and that's it. Subscribe, go to my Patreon, patreon.com/Ari Shaffir for content every week or so. Preview of next week's episode will be up there. Fuck it, right now. Want to watch next week's episode? I'll have it up there. Marissa, can you equalize it with no intro, outro, no ads, just the fucking episode? Yeah, let's do that. It's a good one about the mafia and stuff, and it's about growing and what was the word? Discovery. Discovery. Yeah, with Anthony DeVito. It was a fun one, too. Two good ones. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for our... I know. For Ari Shaffir Skeptic, this has been Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 43, Rehab Rehash. That sucked. Ah, that's a fucking shitty, stupid name. Maybe just Rehab. Rehab for Chloe LaBranch. I'm Ari Shaffir. Saying so long. We both knew we can't go without it. She told me you'll never be in love. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. But I love it. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. But I love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when we're deep in love. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Girl, I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never be in love. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. But I love it. I can feel my face when I'm no more. We both know we can't.